away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra cork.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, PFW in progress here. Off to an eventful start here at Gillette Stadium. We all right, Gary? You look like you're all nervous over there.
He should be. Clocks are falling and glass is shattering everywhere.
We got clocks falling. We got no Fred Kirsch to lead the way, so we're without our normal steadying self. There you go.
Roof panels soaked in glass from the bad cock joint.
Yeah, this
kinds of stuff. Going
stadium
on
is falling apart. Fortunately for everybody, though, the team is not falling apart, Andy Hart.
No.
And Tom Casale. 16-0, the Patriots have done it, much like Andy Hart predicted. I don't want to say me anymore because that guy in North Attleboro will yell at me.
And not send food.
And not send food. Even
like
though
the rest of you bums.
Even after we proved him wrong.
Again.
Anyway, this is the first show we've had since the Saturday night game at the Meadowlands. Much more closely competitive, well-played game
actually
than I think any
game
of us thought. A great, entertaining game.
Phenomenal game.
Thoughts,
I heard a lot of people
opinions?
Complaining because they had to stay up so late to watch that game. They assumed they were going to be able to go to bed at like halftime.
Great, great game on
the Giants
sides.
Showed up. Yep. The Patriots, I didn't think the Patriots played as poorly as they had previous close games.
The Giants
that was just a good football.
I'm a little worried if the Giants can get that back up this week. I mean, they said, you know, well, we had nothing to lose, but they were emotionally invested in that game.
Yes.
I mean, they were into it, so that's going to be interesting to see how that affects them this week. The Patriots obviously have the week to take off and prepare for whoever they're going to play.
All right, PFW in progress here on a Wednesday. The players are off until tomorrow, so they have not resumed their work for the playoffs yet. But that does not give us any time off, however, so we're here for you for your normal radio show here. Webradio at patriots.com is the best way to reach us, sending us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Also, you can give us a call at 508-543-7482. As Andy and Tom are watching highlights of Rashard Mendenhall.
Love him. Lusting
was every bit as impressive as we all thought he was in that game. Here's the key play of the game right there, by the way. 21-10, Illinois down in that Rose Bowl. They looked like they were going in to make it 21-17. The receiver, Willis, I think his name was, coughed the ball up in the end zone. Two plays later, USC fumbles a
watch
lateral,
and
the guy goes about 65 yards.
Here's where Musburger says, no one's going to catch him, and then all of a sudden this bullet comes in the left side of the screen.
So
knocked his lights out.
Big day of college football yesterday. Tom Casale, I'm sure that's like your mecca.
What's up? But as I told you, I'm not happy because the Rose Bowl could have chose Georgia. They decided not to. We could have had a huge monster matchup. Then that would have made Missouri play Hawaii, in which would have been a much better game. It would have been an offensive game that would have been worth watching, and then it would have pushed Illinois down to play Arkansas, and that would have been a better game than watching Missouri whoop on them. So because the Big Ten has to have a Rose Bowl has to have a Big Ten team, and they ruined three games.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Tom came in this morning, and that's the first thing he said to me was that Rose Bowl committee ruined three different games for me yesterday, and I think you have a valid point.
And you realize the Rose Bowl hasn't had a good game since Vince Young was there. And Texas, by the way, doesn't play in the Big Ten or the Pac-10. So just goes to show you, over the last 10 years, the Rose Bowl, everyone remembers, it doesn't have to be Big Ten versus Pac-10. It just has to be a good game.
They wouldn't have had that one, right, if they got to choose it, because that was the national title
game.
They had
Ohio
no
State.
Choice.
Right. Now, when was the year that... No, actually, USC ended up beating them pretty good, right? They beat Michigan pretty good, right? Yeah, no, I mean, no question. The Rose Bowl and their inability to move into the 21st century has really, really hurt the chances for college football to sort of get some excitement.
Yeah.
Because these games are just not that important. And I don't care what
USC would have had a national title game feeling to it. I just don't understand how that doesn't help ratings. And...
I mean, I hear people, I'm driving in this morning on WEEI, and granted, this is not the biggest college area, but they really get exposed.
Good morning, Boomer.
And that might be the most offending party is John Dennis. He's talking about because he loves Pete Carroll and he loves USC. He roots for USC because of Pete Carroll. He's saying, well, you know, if LSU can win a squeaker over Ohio State, maybe that'll open the door.
No
he
chance.
He doesn't even understand how it works.
They're
the winner
none.
Of the game is the champ.
Right.
That's it.
Not to mention,
it's over.
They're behind Virginia Tech, Georgia, I mean, who just whooped on somebody.
Well, that's what, you know, Meta Perel chimed in and said, well, you know, even if that were to happen, which it can't, Georgia would be the next
right.
in line.
But I'm sure Patriot fans that were watching the USC game saw Ray Maoluga, who had three sacks and... You know, he's just a mean man. I like people who are mean.
Although, I thought one of them, they criticized Mendenhall, and Musburger chimes in. That right there, when he gave up a sack, he goes, that right there is why coaches tell me he needs to stay another year. I thought he did a fine job of getting in the way. The quarterback has to move there.
He's
you
not
can't
far
just
enough
step,
away.
Right. He got in the way. He's not going to be able to hold up and just stonewall him for 10 seconds.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You can't expect the running back to pick up a blitzing linebacker
best he can
and
do.
Not get knocked backward.
Right. He just get in the way. The guy's got a 7-yard head start running right at him and is generally about 20 pounds heavier than the running back, if not more.
That was a fine job.
And they were talking about him coming out. I know he said he was going to stay, but
come out.
The interesting guy there is Cushing, who has been injured all year.
Yeah.
But everybody, whenever you watch a USC game, all they talk about is him being the best defensive player on the team. So if he were to come out too, that's going to be a
Except
lot of
Except the one play they said that yesterday. He made a play in the backfield, and then they chose to say, you know, this is Cushing, he's been injured, but everybody says best defensive player, so they zeroed in on him. They snapped the ball. He's covering a guy in the slot, and he spun around three times. First, he was looking at the quarterback. Then the guy had the ball, and he's still looking at the terrible play, and the poor guy got ISO'd in the wrong time.
Well, and the thing is, Maoluga is more spectacular. I mean, he hits harder.
Although,
he's more spectacular.
He made a terrible play on one of the long plays. I might have been the dump-off pass right after he had the long touchdown run. The dump-off pass after that.
Where he had another big run.
He missed his tackle. He missed the tackle, and then he actually, to his credit, got downfield and was part of the tackle after the, whatever, 40, 50-yard gain. But he made a bad, bad play where he looked slow and didn't look good on the play.
Yeah, you know, he clearly is one of those guys that's better at or around the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
I mean, he's an old-school kind of inside.
And as Andy says, apparently Bill doesn't want those guys anymore.
Yeah, no, apparently Bill wants guys that can run around.
That's true, because I think that's the trend in the league is to kind of get away from those kind of guys. I think he's athletic enough, though.
Could be, but I'm just saying, I saw one play where he got athletically outclassed by Mendenhall, and you're going to face more Mendenhalls in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I agree. It's not a matchup that you're
the transition. Can you match up with the star players every week?
Yeah.
But I do think he's good enough to, at the very least, be a Teddy Bruschi control the middle of the field kind of guy.
Now,
when he gets out in space, who knows?
Is he a guy that's good enough to take?
I don't think so.
Probably not seven.
So you got to trade down there.
Yeah.
So he's not at Laurinaitis' level.
I think he's there, but I think Laurinaitis will go in the top 10, where he'll probably go more in the 15 to 20 range in that area.
Sounds like people. Now I don't. I'm not going to pretend I watch Laurinaitis every week. Seem like he's a little more dynamic in terms of athleticism. I don't know if that's true.
Well, let me tell you, he's going to be on display in a few nights.
Yeah, no question. Well, the report's already out that he's going back, right?
Well, he says that.
That's what everyone says
that's
now,
what he
though,
says,
so
but
you don't.
But the two issues we have is, first, these guys got to declare, and then, as Kuiper said, we don't really know what these guys are yet because they don't have official times, heights, weights. All that stuff is sort of, there's estimates, and you're going to hear reports that Laronitis runs a 4.37, and then he might run a 4.52 when he gets a chance to run. So
hopefully he won't run like Tom Brady did.
Oh.
I saw that. That's the first time I ever saw it when they showed that on TV. Asked these guys, and I was in tears laughing. He must have been paid off, right, not to run, because
I think that was him running.
My fat, retarded cousin can run faster than that. I'm talking about a kid who's 370 pounds and has cerebral palsy.
He
could have beat Tom Brady in a foot race.
I can't believe you just called him retarded.
I always do.
Are you shocked? I'm not. But that made its way. I watched a lot of newscasts over the weekend that were randomly showing that. Like, you know, the last 5 minutes of the show when they're trying to make the anchors laugh, they were playing that clip and joking about it.
That's the slowest man I've ever seen.
Yeah. I got bailed out. Me, Fred Kirsch.
Fred Kirsch is here.
The run-up to the
ready
ship
to
has
host.
Arrived, and I don't have to host anymore, which is excellent.
Oh, he's now giving he's you giving the thumb out of the seat.
He's giving me the thumb. All right, well, more importantly, Fred, I was thinking about getting food. Do you want anything?
Where are you getting it from? Margaritas.
I thought we'd go outside the box and get Papachinos. I don't know.
Top shelf?
Where are you getting it from?
Top shelf. Give me a margarita, top shelf.
Top
and by the way, make that top shelf.
The best tequila, top shelf.
That Fred is now top shelf Kirsch.
Yeah, we were at TGI.
You gotta have good tequila.
We were at TGI Fridays.
I'd rather pay for it that night than the next day.
And then you complained when you had to pay for it.
We were at TGI Fridays. Let's tell everybody what happened. We're at TGI Fridays eating wings and other garbage. And Fred Kirsch has to order not only a margarita, but has to specify six times that it's top shelf tequila. And then we get the bill, and it was $9 a drink, and Fred is shocked. Like, beers are $4.
Right. What did you expect?
I don't know, like 6 or 7.
That's what it would have been without you saying top shelf, probably.
Really?
And there's no doubt that the waitress spit in his drink.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said top shelf about 30
17
times.
17 times.
But she was confused in the order at first, and so I wanted to make sure she heard that part.
That's top shelf, right?
Top shelf, right? Top shelf. Another margarita here. Make sure it's top shelf again, right? Said top shelf 17
Can't
times.
Can't take this guy anywhere.
No. Then we almost gave her an extra $50 tip on top of the tip they included in the bill.
Am I supposed to read this? This is from Anthony, our good buddy Anthony in Naples. I ordered the goods and requested for it to be delivered on December 26th at noon. The tequila is for you. Jack for Tom, beer for Paul. Andy gets the vodka. Enjoy if you wish to share it with Fred, by all means. Have a good Christmas. And that's...
Instead, Fred took the beer and the tequila.
Evidently, Fred drank it already anyway, so much for sharing it with all of us.
Top shelf tequila must have been.
It was. That's what they put in the one you had in Jersey, too.
That's 1800. Something, whatever.
So, Fred, let's switch spots. We can get you can get you in the trusty host
chair. Fred, we had a new clock for you that lasted less than a minute into the show when it came crashing down from up there and glass shattered and went everywhere. So now we don't have a new clock anymore. Gary, what happened to the old clock? Now we don't have any clocks in here.
Now we don't even know what time it is.
You think Fred didn't take breaks before? Be 3:30, we'll still be going.
I'm gonna get this lunch thing going so Gary can call it in for us.
Yeah, but where are we going?
Why don't we just get Papagino's?
Okay.
Our clock's back.
I'd like
Boy,
a place where
holiday,
we could get a veal, but struggling. That's all right.
Top shelf veal.
You got top shelf veal there?
Now, is that veal? Is that massaged?
No, you don't massage it. You pound it.
You don't
should
they,
know that.
Don't they, like when it's alive, don't they massage?
The... Oh, you're talking about the milk-fed calf?
Yeah, I got to say, I take a pounding.
No, those are, you know, what they do is they don't let them run around so they don't build up any muscle.
I just want you to know we had a very fine like 15 minutes of football talk. I missed that.
He said they don't let the cows run around so they don't build up any muscle. And I said, like Paul's youth.
I wasn't the one that was fat when I was a kid like you were.
But the fat was over muscle. I had muscle underneath. I was very strong.
Oh,
just fat.
What were we talking about?
You had to wear sweatpants every day.
We were
raving about the game. That it was a good football
game. We're
talking about
yesterday.
The Patriots game Saturday, obviously, and also the college games yesterday.
We should have knocked
you. You see my boy Mendenhall, Fred? Illinois running back?
He looked good.
He's great.
McFadden didn't, though.
I'm down on McFadden. I think Mendenhall is going to be the better pro.
Well, it depends on who comes out here, because I personally think Ray Rice may be a better pro right now.
Could be.
You got to remember, Ray Rice has been injured all season. And when he was healthy in his final game there, he looked like the old Ray Rice. And he's got that Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, low center of gravity to him that I like. So we're going to have to look at some of the running backs that are coming out here. Steve Slayton isn't even on my radar. I mean, he'd make a nice
gimmick.
Kick returner.
Yeah, he's a gimmicky guy. But Mendenhall's my guy. I love him. Especially when he's not getting the
just
ball.
Just based on that one game? Or
well,
do you
no,
know
he's
like
two games.
For a while.
I watched him earlier this year, and he had a similar game. So now
Mendenhall's pretty good.
But and the one thing I'll say is their offense sucks. So he's doing that on, I mean, Juice Williams runs down and basically says, I'm giving
but
you the ball
also,
here.
But Darren McFadden's in the same boat.
No, I know.
They,
I just
they line him up all over the place, and this is the same play, McFadden running up the
McFadden's
middle.
McFadden's whole, like, the Cadillac, and he's really, not to be rude to his parents, but a dumb kid. His whole total package, I get that. That Lendale White.
It's going to be interesting to see if he starts to slide after the combine, after people sit down and talk with him. Because from all reports, he's not the brightest kid. He doesn't always make the right decisions. So that'll be interesting.
All right. What about the game? What did you guys think?
Great game by both teams.
Yeah.
Phenomenal game.
Coughlin's getting kudos for playing all his guys, and Gruden's getting criticized for not playing his guys.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. I think guys know their teams. Gruden really didn't. He wasn't playing the Patriots,
right?
Like he
and that's what he said. Yeah.
We weren't playing the Patriots, and Garcia's kind of nicked up, right?
He's been, yeah.
So I think he was using it just to rest him.
I don't think Gruden deserves to be criticized. If there's anybody that you might say that they may not have gone about it right, it would be the Colts with Dungy, because they played a game that impacted the league. You know, like you could make the argument with Coughlin,
right?
With the Patriots.
Which, by the way, is Peyton Manning now the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, why is he had the headphones
plays?
On.
He was calling, covering his mouth with the card, calling plays to Jim Sorgi, and they'd show him split screen Manning and Tom Moore, and
255.
Peyton Manning is talking like between plays, giving the plays in, and Tom Moore's just standing there watching the game.
And he's done that before, too, when he's been on the sides.
I've defended Tom Moore in the past, but he's along for the ride. He is totally along for the ride.
When he's playing, why should it change when he's not playing?
They got salads. Or, I don't know.
What,
Gary, they got salads like chicken Caesar or something?
You know what you should get is the chicken Caesar wrap.
Yeah, that's what Andy's
I'm getting.
I don't
chicken
eat
Caesar
bread,
pocket.
Remember?
He's off bread.
Still off the bread? How's the diet
off
coming?
7 pounds, baby.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now the key is keeping it.
Tool walks out of the bathroom the other day. Oh, another loop on the belt I went in.
it's true. No, but after the season, Fred, Weight Watchers.
Okay.
So we'll be okay.
All right.
Fred, I thought us working here, I don't feel like we've gotten the – I mean, it's hard to say this without it makes sense, but I don't know if we've – know what the magnitude of that game was, because we're working.
Right.
And like Allison said to me, you didn't tell me how it was last night. And I said, well, for us, it was kind of the same as anything else. But like her grandmother was watching and had no reason, didn't know why she was, but just watching, like called and congratulated me, found out later she thought I was going to get a raise because of it. Leave her to her illusions. But, Allison went to a wedding shower before, and like all the girls were going like to parties to watch the game. Yep. Like this was a huge,
it was history.
Huge,
I mean, it's like
it was
why are Sosa any of these things that transcend sports and become you just watch it because you know you're supposed to watch it because it's history.
I know some people don't think if the Patriots are 18-0, people will care for the Super Bowl, but I think this game showed how much people are going to care about a team going undefeated.
By the way, Fred,
I guess you're right.
In Fred's defense, he has come around on that. He told me.
Did you see the ratings release talking about that game being whatever?
Right.
And then they had the games from the past calendar year and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Patriots-Colts AFC Championship was in 46 million homes.
Right.
The Super Bowl was
94
or 94. It's
twice as many people.
So you've totally cut ties to that whole argument, right?
I guess.
Okay.
Because
I went back right away on the whole AFC Championship game. My final statement was that it wouldn't be the highest rated Super Bowl of all time.
It's going to be.
But
it
will
probably be if they play Tampa Bay. If they play Green Bay or Dallas, it'll be by a mile.
You're probably
by
right.
a mile.
You're probably right.
Wow, you're just backing down on everything now.
Well, hey.
But you know what?
Bob Sanders is the defensive player of the year, right?
Oh, yeah.
But Fred,
he's got to be a top three.
Fred got put on the spot on the TV show and goes, oh, yeah.
I'm with Fred on the Colts defense.
I was thinking that DeMarcus Ware might be a guy that could be up
for
that.
He's up there.
You know,
Mike Vrabel's
in
the mix.
Sanders is more of the core of that team.
I think Albert Haynesworth may get some consideration, but he might lose points for missing so many guys. I think he missed three.
Well, there's not a hands-down Tom Brady MVP.
He proved his worth to the Titans because of the games he was out.
But Sanders has proved his worth to the Colts.
Right.
Over the last couple of years.
That's true.
And you know what else I think's going on? I think there's some people who just hate the Patriots and will root against them no matter what. But I think some of the people on the fence are now kind of rooting for the Patriots to do this. You know, people who didn't really love them but didn't really kind of.
I have seen an element of that.
They're kind of like, this is kind of cool.
Right.
I kind of want to see them do it now.
Yeah, the casual, very casual sports fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, my mother put it to me in an interesting way.
Put it to you? Oh, come on. It's his mother.
That's just so wrong.
That's
on so
the wrongest
levels.
Thing that's ever been said on this show.
And there's been a lot of wrong things said on this show. But anyway.
I'm waiting for the day where you explode
said, you know
on
what?
Some mother.
You know.
Wow. People have said a lot of wrong things on this show, but that might be the wrongest.
That's what I was looking for.
Think about it, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now and how you're going to look back and you're going to be so proud that you were part of it in whatever small way. Is how she put it to me. You know, you didn't play or anything, but you were there and you were part of it, and you got to witness history.
That's true.
I've said many times in the past, and will continue to say, Andy, just because I wasn't a running back who tore my ACL in high school doesn't mean I didn't play.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
Sorry. Is that your excuse?
What?
You tore your ACL?
I don't make excuses.
Yeah.
It's a probably
more
part.
Did any
of
you guys happen to read Greg Easterbrook yesterday?
I didn't. I heard it was another one of those laughable ones.
It wasn't really laughable. I mean, it's a true fact that no quarterback who has ever won, you know, had most yards in a season had gone to the Super Bowl.
You know what I used to hear, Andy? You know what I used to hear? I believe it was 92 when they were telling me no rushing champion.
Well, that's
ever.
The whole
and
thing.
And you know what I said? I said, guess what? That's going to change this year because this team's too good. I think
no
those,
quarterback threw 50 touchdown
I
passes
think those
before
things
either.
Are, yeah, an anomaly. Is it an anomaly? Is that the word I'm thinking of? They just don't happen for reasons. But sometimes you get a team. A lot of those teams, like the Chargers and those teams, they didn't have a defense.
My defense is that no team has ever done 16-0 either.
Right.
You know, and they did that. So
good team.
But it does – I mean, it is interesting to look at. Why is
– but I could find other ones.
But the thing that bothers me about those little point of facts, they make it sound like that's the reason.
Right. You lose because you throw a lot.
Right. You throw too much and you can't win by throwing a lot in the Super Bowl.
I mean, but Tom's right. If you run too much, you can't win either.
It's not a cause and effect.
No, but and he did back up. He said, you know, now that doesn't mean that teams that haven't gone past happy in the Super Bowl haven't won. Absolutely, that's true. And it's not to say that teams that were more pass-oriented can't win. You know, but he just thought
what was the article about? Basically,
he's a patriot hater.
He took a point of fact in that no yardage leader in a year has ever gone on to win the Super Bowl, and that's what he wrote a column. I didn't read the whole thing. That's the premise of the story.
I think he started out, how can I find a way to say the Patriots can't win the Super Bowl? Oh, no yardage leader's ever done it. There's my story. Typing.
And I don't know who's led in yards all the years, but I know two guys would be Marino and Manning, and their defenses sucked.
Right. Well,
and that was one of the
Rich
reasons
Gannon
why they didn't win.
Was another one that was led and lost.
And who led the league in yardage last year? Drew Brees or Manning second?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a point.
Kurt Warner didn't lead it when he won the.
I can't believe that. That's a good
Super
point.
No, but he did lead it when they lost to the Patriots, I think.
But he didn't lead it the year they won it. I can't
who
believe
who in God's
that?
Name led
I'm
the league
sure.
in the. Hey, strippers, who
I'll
led
look,
the
I'll
league
I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Holy.
I got it.
Okay,
you got the whiteboard going.
But, it stuff is out there. Now this morning I'm driving into work. I'm listening
to
Dennis Callahan, and they're talking about how Patriots fans still don't feel that they get the proper respect.
You got to be kidding me!
Patriots fans don't think they're getting the proper respect.
Well, that's what they're saying.
They just put their game on 18 different networks the other night,
and that's what Dennis and Callahan was saying, and callers were calling up saying, you know, you're right. I can't believe it about Patriots fans. I want to know from our listeners, is there still anyone out there that feels that the Patriots don't get enough respect?
And you gotta let it go. You gotta embrace what's happening and stop with every time a negative little article is written.
Now,
enjoy it.
Now,
there's
the
so
fact,
many positive
but,
articles
and the
being
fact
written.
That people don't like you, that doesn't mean that you're not getting,
respect. That's the ultimate sign of respect.
It almost means that you are getting the respect that now they hate you so much that they're going to do
you
it.
You want that.
Right.
How do you think the Cowboys became the Cowboys? Because everyone loved them?
Right.
No, half the country hated them, but they care about them one way or the other. The Yankees are the same way. I think the Red Sox are now in that boat, too, where people either love the Red Sox or hate the Red Sox. That's what you want.
Right. So if there is, you know, and you can't
wasn't
just
it
say,
the 99 Rams?
You can't just write in and say, oh, I believe that. You got to give me some evidence at this point. Over the last year or two, show me, besides a couple guys like Tom Jackson, who even him I don't think is saying bad things anymore, or Greg Easterbrook, give me the overall evidence that the Patriots don't get enough respect. I'll tell you what.
Because
here's evidence that the league wanted the Patriots to win that game and go 16-0.
I don't think there's much doubt
the day
about
after, on the NFL Pro Shop, not the Patriots Pro Shop, NFLProShop.com, they had no less than 9 different items that had to do with the 16-0 season.
Hmm. Do they have cool T-shirts?
I didn't know
they had cool T-shirts.
Do you have any documentation on that? I like to throw that in first down.
I was looking at it today, and I wrote our manager of retail. I said, do we have this stuff? We don't. we didn't want to push the 16-ounce stuff.
See, because it was funny. I went to Patriot. My mom asked me. She said she saw cool shirts. So I went to our website, and all it had was Eastern Division AFC
That's
East
all.
Title
we
stuff.
We don't have
you don't
it.
Want to be, you don't 16-0 doesn't matter. 19-0.
Well, NFL. I was wondering if we put down an edict, maybe.
Well, I think we did. I think we, you know, we those items were.
Because I could see Bill saying yeah. no 16
and
0 stuff.
You know, cheap items. They're made by Reebok. They're the official licensed Reebok T-shirts and sweatshirts. But we don't carry.
But
them
do
for
we all agree
reason.
That 16-0 doesn't matter if they lose to the Colts? I mean, a little bit because they
right now it doesn't. But, it doesn't. It matters nothing in the near future.
But that's why
someday,
you're not selling. But right. But that's why you're not selling T-shirts.
Right. Exactly.
See, I kind of Mike Reese is a guy that we all respect, but he did something in his mailbag where he kind of ripped Don Shula for saying, if they go undefeated, that I'll be the first to call and congratulate them. And Mike said, well, they already went 16-0.
Yeah.
But they're not undefeated. No matter how many
they
regular
have
season games
matched,
the Dolphins played,
right.
They went through the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and
they
were undefeated.
They had the perfect season. They have not matched what the Dolphins did yet.
And if Don Shula called Bill Belichick, what would he say? Don, we're not undefeated. You know, Belichick, he doesn't want to get a call from
matter.
Don Shula now.
And I think you're right. In the short term, if they lose any time or if they don't go all the way, right now it puts a big taint on the 16-0. I think down the road.
But even forever, Fred, they'll be known as the greatest regular season ever, but they won't be known as the greatest
team. And,
a lot of that's unfair. A lot of that's unfair because I like to think that, and I'm pretty consistent with this, but you should be able to do some work and try to analyze who you think is better. I don't think a lot of people think the 72 Dolphins are the best team ever. I think there's some people that do. They say, well, they were perfect, so they're the best. But I don't think a lot of people think, man for man, that was the best team that's ever played.
Right.
So you shouldn't just say, well, the Patriots are the best team that ever played because they won. And then if they lose, all of a sudden they're not.
Right.
I think there's a lot of teams that don't win the Super Bowl that are better than teams that do win the Super Bowl.
I mean, what if there's a bad ref call and they lose the game?
I agree with you, Paul.
That negates everything?
But that's the way it will be perceived.
I would argue that the Steelers are the best overall team ever because of the Cowboy teams they beat in the Super Bowl were probably better than those 72 Dolphins teams.
Yeah.
So I agree. You have to look at the whole body of work. You can't just say, well, the Patriots aren't any good because they lost to the Colts. The Colts are a pretty good team.
But getting Cowboys, back to the 72 Cowboys, or the 71 Cowboys did to the Miami in the previous Super Bowl. They throttled them.
But getting back to this whole NFL, I mean, obviously they were ready for this. They had these things printed and ready to go, and they had them up on the website the next day.
Right.
So, you know, there's a vested interest in
the
league.
So was the game fixed?
No, it wasn't fixed. But it's better for the league for a team to do this than it's not.
Because you say that doesn't have to mean then that there was a conspiracy
theory. No, I was just
because we just talked about it. Brings
I'm talking
that are outside the spectrum of the NFL. It brings interest.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's also good to have the golden boy. Like, it's good that it's the Patriots and not the Cardinals.
There's a reason why Brady and Manning are the centerpieces of so many different things that the league does.
Manning for the common man and Brady for the elitist.
They're the golden boys, though. I mean, they're
Manning for Timex, Brady for
they're
Lovato.
Well-spoken guys that come across well on camera, and they're great role models for the league. There's a reason for that. The league isn't dumb. They understand how to market.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
This little Greg Easterbrook thing has turned into a pretty good trivia question. Warner was second in the league in passing yards in 99. Wow. Name the leader.
I'm trying to think.
I know because I just got the email.
Oh, well, then you can't guess.
Strippers? Strippers come through?
No, somebody else.
Hang on. All
right.
It was Jeff and Jeff who wrote in with the answer.
Minnesota?
No.
No?
That's where I was going.
Nope.
It wasn't McNabb.
Nope.
That was his rookie year.
Yeah. Right. It's. I'm just trying to think of the teams that were good then.
Oh, boy. I don't know. You got the crickets playing.
Got to talk into the
five guys who threw for 4,000 yards that year. Warner was second. Brad Johnson was fifth. Just snuck in.
Was
over
it Brunell?
No.
Hello.
You were close.
It obviously starts with a B.
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, give up.
Steve.
Berline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Steve Berline.
Oh, with the Panthers, they had that crazy game at the end of the year with the Packers, where they were going back and forth.
44-36.
Well, first of all, we should be shot for not guessing Brett Favre.
He's
I didn't even think of Brett Favre.
He was one of the five. Warner, Manning, Favre, Johnson, all were.
I tell you, that's a hell of a trivia question right there.
Steve
Berline.
And I remember the last game of the year that year, my boy needed like
but that shows
120
how stupid
yards
it is.
To get another 4,000-yard season. He didn't get
that
it.
That shows how stupid it is. Warner was second. Steve Berline beat him, but Warner was right there, and then they won the Super Bowl. So it wasn't
but
there's
that,
no
that's my
correlation.
Point. It's not. It's just kind of a point of fact. It's got nothing to do with one having anything to do with the other. It's not a cause and effect thing.
Well, and that was the thing with the Emmitt Smith thing where they said, well, the rushing champions never won it. And I used to say, I thought you had to run the football to win in the NFL.
Right.
Now they're telling you if you have
to. You got to run, but not too much.
I think they're all farcical. I think the whole thing about the defense. I think there's a lot of teams that I think have won Super Bowls because they've been dominant on offense. Now, they may not have been terrible on defense, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I think all those San Francisco teams, they had decent defenses, but they won because they were tremendous offensively.
They're very efficient.
The whole thing about defense winning championships and running games, you have to establish the run to set up the pass. I think all that stuff is all antiquated.
The Niners and the Cowboys basically went in and said, we're going to hold you to 17 to 21 points, and then we're going to score
and
more than
no
that.
There's no way you're going to hold me less than that.
Exactly.
You know what?
They didn't say we were going to hold you to six.
There's a team in a locker room down the hall right now that kind of adheres to that philosophy. There's no way you're holding us to below 24.
Right. But one thing I will say about winning any Super Bowl, whether you have a good offense or good defense, if you lose the line of scrimmage in the Super Bowl, you lose the game. You know, that year the Patriots, beat the Panthers. You know, they had Hochstein starting, and they had some problems, but they didn't get to Brady, really.
No sacks.
And if you win the line of scrimmage, you give yourself a chance. If you lose it, those games that I remember as a kid growing up where one team dominated another, it was like, snap the ball and they were in the backfield. And you can't win that way. You got to win in the trenches in the Super Bowl.
The one that really reminds me of that is, Tom will like this, the 77 Super Bowl when Dallas beat Denver.
Yeah.
That was the way that game was.
That's probably the one that's etched in my mind.
That's one of the most dominating performances ever.
Right. Craig Morton took every snap of that game and immediately was swarmed. It was like a high school game. It was swarmed as soon as he took the snap.
Yeah, obviously I was a kid, but I've seen highlights of the game, and it's just like eight guys in the backfield after the snap.
I was so frustrated in that game
because I was a Broncos fan.
It only ended up like 27-7 or something like that, 27-10. The fact that was that close is amazing.
They never had a chance. So you got to win. You got to win that line of scrimmage battle, both sides. All right, Gary, let's take a break. But before we do, another thing on the table. Dave in Abingdon, who's gone back and forth on this Maroney thing, he says, so since my eyes tell me Bill must trust Maroney, I wonder what you girls think of him now. Two touchdowns, two-point conversions. We'll talk about that and other things after the break.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. The gang's all here. The email is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Be here until 2 o'clock.
Freddie, the NFL Super Bowl commercial thing, is that a voted by the fans thing? How's that thing play?
I have no idea how that works. And I looked, I was watching those.
Yesterday?
They had it on. Online, they have a lot of the guys that are making the quarterfinals or whatever it is. Or
Izzo's is funny.
It's okay. None of them are that good.
I liked Matt Hasselbeck's. Did you see his?
Yeah.
When walking by the mailboxes and he finally got mail and the mail was
somebody
Brett Favre
else
doesn't answer his email, right. His mail. Can you get his autograph and send it back to me?
I mean, to me, that was the best I saw, but I think last year's contest was much more interesting.
What was last year's?
That's where they had the fans create an ad and they had to go and audition.
And what won?
I think it was the guy. I think he was from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the stupid naked guy one or something?
Yeah, it was.
It was in the shower or something.
I didn't like it.
You know, but I thought that was more creative than this year's. This year's is kind
of
boring.
When did they do it? Because I see random clips of like Colvin and Neil.
They did that here about a month and a half, 2 months ago maybe.
I think they're all fake.
Because we were invited to go down and watch.
I think they're scripted.
They actually had like an NFL Films truck that toured. And showed up at different stadiums.
I just don't. I'm with Tom.
I
don't have
don't
much
like
interest
that kind
in
of stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of stuff I don't like, he won Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year. By the way,
I saw that. I started laughing.
That's like Norv Turner.
You mean to tell me he took that team and only lost four games?
they did the countdown of the 25 greatest players. Now I told you guys that Red Grange would be in the top three because he always is, but he was number one. You know what I say to that? Go screw yourself. I don't want to see a guy from the 20s number one. I'm sorry. Make Barry Sanders number one.
It's another unbelievable rant, but
Sanders was
got to agree with him. Barry
Sanders
was number two. And by the way, they showed his highlight clip. There was like saliva coming out of my mouth. I mean, it's just like you're watching these runs.
Re-goddamn-diculous.
What is it, 2,600 yards he rushed for that year?
It was almost 2,500.
2,400?
He averaged
another problem.
240 a game.
Fred, maybe you can answer this. You're a computer stack geek guy, and you do all this organizational stuff. Barry Sanders, the Kevin Smith from Central Florida, was going for the record. But he wasn't really because Barry Sanders in his bowl game had 245 yards. But back then they didn't count bowl game towards the record. Now they count bowl game towards the record. Why can't they just go back and add the bowl game numbers to what he had in that regular season and make that the record?
Because they'd have to go do it to everybody.
No.
And
I don't care. You have stats. Go back. You got a calculator. All you got to do is add it up. Some computer geek could probably do it with the push of one return.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I just say in today's
world.
Those
are your people. That's why I asked you about that.
Who are my
people? You know, stat people.
Throw Red Grange a bone. Make him number three. Herschel Walker, Barry Sanders. Those are your top two. I mean, come on now.
So who was number two? Sanders?
Yeah, it was Walker, was Sanders, and then Red
Grange. Walker?
No.
Herschel.
Herschel Walker. He's pretty good.
Doak Walker.
You might have heard of him?
And then Red Grange. But, you know, fans watching the games, they just don't want to see that. You waited all this time for Red Grange to be number one, and I know he was great.
Did they have clips of him?
Yeah, they showed a couple of.
Was he impressive?
They did say one thing.
Playing against my father.
I forget the number though. But
right, he had to mow the lawn after the game.
He had a game against Michigan. That the first 12 minutes, he had four touchdowns and like a ridiculous 200 yards rushing in the first 12 minutes of a game.
I agree with Tom, though. He's playing against Fred.
Well, did Crazy Legs Hirsch make it anywhere on the list?
I can't I don't know if he made it, Fred.
I just don't think it makes – I agree with him. It just doesn't make any sense.
But where's the cutoff? In 20 years, do we remove Barry Sanders?
Oh, no, they can still be in the top five. But like, I
would say he wasn't great.
Yeah, but number one, you know, it kind of takes some of the shine off it for me.
Oh, well.
I thought it was a cool thing they did. I kind of agree with Tom. It ended up anticlimactic.
They got what they wanted, though. They just want you to talk about it and –
Well, that's what lists. That's the beauty of lists. That's why you can't go wrong with a good list.
That's right.
We were talking about the Giants playing all out and the Colts not. John from Fayetteville, Georgia writes in, I have to admire the Giants for playing to win Saturday night's game. It made the win for the Pats that much better, knowing that it wasn't a bunch of practice squad players that they beat. Tom Coughlin had a sense of football history and played his starters for the full 60 minutes. Kudos to him. The Indianapolis Colts, on the other hand, sat most of their starters for most of the game. Isn't there an NFL rule that says a team has to try to win each game? The Colts did not even make an effort to look like they were trying to win. There was a lot of riding on that game. There was a lot riding on that game, and Tony Grungy decided to take a knee. What kind of respect does that show for the league and its rules? With all the hype this year depicting the good Indy versus evil Pats aspect, how does this make Indy look like the good guys? Put that in your hookah and smoke it, Easterbrook.
I kind of disagree a little bit.
I disagree totally.
And
you have to do what's in your best interest, team.
I know a lot of Giant fans, and they're not overly happy because three of their starters got hurt. And they want to go. They wanted to beat the Patriots. All the guys I know, the fans really wanted to beat the Patriots, but not to the extent where they wanted to hurt their players for the playoffs. Because if you get to the Super Bowl, how do you know Tom Brady doesn't get injured on the second play? You know what I mean? If you get there,
you can
there's
win.
Always a chance. And the Giants have just as good a chance as anybody in the NFC.
Anybody can come out of the NFC, and I just think, like Andy said, you have to do what's in the best interest of your team. You have to prepare your team as best you can. Now,
literally, not even get rid of these stupid rules and stuff.
There are no rules.
Your job as Tony Dungy, going to Robert Irsay, is that his name, Robert Irsay?
Yep.
Is
Bobby.
Jim Irsay. Robert was the father.
Why did I check with Fred? He gives me the thumbs up.
Robert was his father, Tiger.
Your job is to win the Super Bowl. That is your job.
They pay you for it. Bill will tell you that all the
time. So screw the league. I don't work for the league. I work for Irsay. He hands me a paycheck, and he tells me, I want you to end this season with a victory. I want you to return to this office and hand me a trophy. That is
now,
what your focus is.
And Andy, to back your point, Fred said the league wanted him to go 16-0, right?
Right.
What if Belichick thought the best thing to do for his team was to bench his players? Do you think he would give a darn?
No, he
would have
done it.
League?
If he thought that was most
exactly.
No question. As he should.
Yeah, let's say there was a different kind of a playoff format and no one got a bye and they had to play again next week. There's a chance the Patriots may have approached that game a little bit differently.
Right. As they all should. All 32 coaches owe it to their owners who pay them a large sum of money to try to win the Super Bowl.
And the Browns, the Browns all said it. We had our chance. We went into Cincinnati. We should have won the game.
When you put your fate in someone else's hands, you have no...
That's what happens. Yeah. Now, I mentioned the thing at the top of the show about Dungy and the Colts only because... You know, they were comparing it to John Gruden, who I don't think owed it anything. I mean, playing a meaningless game, that was truly a meaningless game, whereas the Indy game actually did have a bearing on other teams in the league with Tennessee and Cleveland. However, if they had gone out there and they played Peyton Manning the whole way, I think that would have been fine if that's what they wanted to do. It wouldn't be what I would do, but I wouldn't have had any argument with it.
And
I don't argue with Tom Coughlin either.
And you can't blame Dungy with all the injuries that they had this year. I mean, come on.
The other thing,
and it just finally got to the point where it seems like they've overcome those injuries.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is last year with the Patriots, why we thought they should take their starters out. Tennessee can be kind of a chippy team to play. You know, they got Mawai, they have Bullock, they have guys.
They're dirty.
That are,
let's face it,
they are dirty.
And
absolutely,
I really don't want my starters anywhere near them.
Yeah.
So.
Todd Nova Scotia said, I heard you guys mention last week that Belichick was on the cover of SI as Santa Claus. Thinking the media had given up the whole Pats are evil mantra, I went to SI.com to check it out, and to my horror, I discovered SI version of Santa had a lot of Grinch-like qualities. I guess SI was really saying the Patriots are stealing Christmas from the other 31 teams by going 16-0.
I thought the picture was funnier than
I
hell.
Did too. So did
look
Bill.
At that picture all day.
Yeah, I'm just going to, I mean, unless Bill was just kind of laughing it off, but I thought Bill got a kick out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
what was Grinch like?
And you know,
well,
the players all joked about it.
You know,
but that was the
Bill.
Point.
Yeah,
that was the point.
That's what
like,
made it funny.
Is he really happy about it?
Right.
He
had a question mark
yeah,
next to happy.
You know,
right.
With a question
he's
like,
never
is he,
happy.
In other words,
right.
Is he really enjoying this run
exactly.
to history?
Exactly.
Because he keeps saying, we're just focused on the next game, and
right.
You know, and I think you got to see it a little bit Saturday night. That to me, you know, getting back to the game was the most striking thing. How much they actually let it out. Weren't you struck by that, Andy? In the locker room with Bill saying, you know, that this is a great accomplishment, something that we all should be proud of, and we can enjoy it now for a while. You know, and he stopped and said, for a while.
Right.
And every player, you know,
right.
talking, you know, Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Rodney Harrison, Richard Seymour, all talking about how much it meant to them. I thought that was kind of striking, mm-hmm. how much they actually admitted how important it was. I was expecting to continue on the same, well, it's the next game and blah, 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 blah.
Speaking of after the game, what's this I hear about Randy Moss came out and talked about all the negativity or something recently?
Well, he said,
when was this?
The record.
His post-game press conference.
Oh, then? Oh, okay. So
he was saying the best feeling wasn't that. Breaking the record. It was shutting all the media.
They asked him about Jerry Rice's record. He said, I don't care
what
about media? Breaking. The
Mike quote. Felger, apparently.
I don't care about breaking Jerry Rice's record. I only care about shutting you guys up.
Right.
That's what
and
he
said. And it's Mike Felger. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
I don't remember anybody else in this town even.
No,
one.
Was
yeah.
it was unfortunate because I think that Randy Moss, publicly at least, has been absolutely perfect all season. He's been perfect when we've been in the locker room. He's been perfect when he's spoken after games. And this one was one I kind of wish
I don't
he didn't
mind
say.
Him saying that because, look, guy said stuff about him.
It was a classless
now he, you know,
thing to
but
the other issue is you don't know where it's coming from. We never know. Because if you remember when Richey Caldwell wouldn't talk because Brian Daboll
right.
was using media and what people are saying. So for all we know, Nick Caserio has spun it as, boy, you should
yeah.
have seen the clips
don't
when
you
came here. They said you were done.
I forget about the media. I don't. He can say, if he had just said the part about the media, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I thought it was disrespectful to Jerry Rice.
I
don't care about breaking Jerry Rice's record.
Well,
I thought that was
he's
disrespectful.
He's been pretty consistent with it.
I just thought that
as long as the zero stays in the loss column, it's all he's cared
as
about.
As a guy, well, no, evidently that changed. He only cared about shutting up the media this week. But as a guy who I think has been absolutely perfect on that stage every single game, I thought that he was a little less than perfect
well,
this week.
Well, the thing is, and
maybe
these
he's
guys,
mad because Rice
you know,
was saying he didn't really
like
break
a Moss,
it.
Well, it's hard to.
I don't like
say
Jerry
anything.
Rice. I'll state that
but,
for the record.
But Moss has answered all the critics with just his performance. He doesn't need to say
right.
anything else.
But they
you
can't
know,
help themselves.
But they can't help
it's the
themselves.
Same as Lawrence Maroney saying, yeah, when I was running, themselves. I was thinking about the media.
Yeah. Gary went to the web and printed out the actual Grinch Who Stole Christmas poster, and it's the same picture that they used for Belichick. They just took out the Grinch face and put Belichick in there. So it's probably what they were thinking of, I'm sure. But, you know, it's all in
and
fun.
You never know. They could have said, hey, give me a picture of Bill smiling so we can put this on the cover. And the guy said, we don't have any of those.
like I said, I think Bill took it in stride and thought it was kind of funny.
Sure.
And
sure. Let's see. Who's this? Alex says, I finally got to see you guys in video. And let me tell you, you were made for radio.
I agree.
No doubt about that.
I didn't see Eric, but my guess is he looks like Kip from Napoleon Dynamite.
Worse.
Yeah, kind of.
I think the hottest team in the NFC is Washington, and I like their chances against Seattle. I would like to ask Tom if the Cowboys will rue the day when they didn't eliminate the Skins.
They'll rue the day they hired Wade Phillips as the head coach. I've been saying all year that this is going to catch up to them. And you could – listen, I know the game didn't mean anything to them, okay? But the game didn't mean anything to the Packers either. And you saw a team having some fun. Tony Romo didn't look like he wanted to be on that field. He didn't look like he wanted to play.
I agree.
There's something wrong with that team. And I think it's during the season, you know, it's mentally tough to go through a 16-game season. And I think that Wade Phillips not doing anything is starting to take effect.
Two questions I have about the Cowboys. One, there's been interest in Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
What is Jerry Jones going to do to keep him from leaving? Two, people are saying the reason why Romo doesn't look right is because he doesn't have Owens, and Owens is his binky.
It was only one game.
The team hasn't looked right for a while.
They haven't played a good game since they beat Green Bay.
Yeah.
Since then, Tom called it that it was going to happen. They stumbled and barely beat Detroit, who had been in the midst of, a seven-game losing streak. They got really embarrassed, I thought, by Philadelphia at home. They struggled to beat someone else who's escaping me now. And then they had this game where they didn't even take it seriously against Washington.
Tom's right. It starts at the top. And if we're going to rave about Bill Belichick.
Oh, Carolina.
Week in and week out, and the ability to win 16 in a row and all the mental hurdles and winning the close games even when you don't play well. Well, then that's why you criticize a guy like Wade Phillips. And that's why we're reading on the internet, Are they going to fire Wade Phillips to keep Jason Garrett?
Yeah, what are they going to do?
I would say one or two things would happen. One, they name Garrett the head coach. Or two, they do a Florida State where they say, we're going to keep Wade for one more season, and then you'll be the next head coach. Give him a guaranteed contract. Give him a raise as coordinator.
But they're going to have to say that soon because he's apparently got two interviews this week.
He's a hot commodity. So anyway, whatever happens, Jerry Jones will screw it up. So they're in trouble. They're in definite trouble because the Redskins are playing well, and they might have to play them in the first game.
Fred, speaking on those lines, though, and I heard about Jason Garrett. I heard Mort this morning, Chris Mortensen on ESPN Radio, saying that Atlanta intends to seek permission, or they've already sought permission from McDaniels as well. They wanted to talk to
McDaniels.
Him.
And I heard Dimitrov's name being thrown out.
I hadn't heard that, but that's interesting too.
Thomas Dimitrov's name's been thrown out for GM job, possibly in Atlanta. Thomas, he's the head of pro scouting for the Patriots, I believe that's his title. Oh, college scouting, head of college scouting for the Patriots. So, you know, there's interest all over in teams like the Patriots who were still playing. You know, it's tough for them because they can't really sit down and think about the offseason, yet they have to protect these guys. On the phone is Dave in Abingdon, Virginia. Dave, how you doing?
Good. How you guys?
Good.
So I was wondering, you know, because I've been going back and forth with you guys about Maloney. What do you guys think of him now?
I think he's coming off his best three games of the season. But as we pointed out, when they needed to win games, they still threw the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
they went to him also on the 2 points when they really needed it, too.
Well, that's because they spread out the defense.
How many carries did he get in that game the other night?
Like 14, maybe.
And, I mean, is that a guy that you think that the offense revolves around? They gave him 14 carries.
No, but the offense doesn't revolve on him, but you guys are on him like he doesn't play at all. And to me,
he didn't have a good year. He wasn't running well. But the last 3 weeks, we've said he's run as well as he have.
Because they had, I thought, the best offense in the whole dang world.
Yeah, so
but it wouldn't
so
be better
Colts.
To add running back
so
to
So
to
the Colts when Edgerrin James was there. Listen, stop listening to EEI and those ball washers. The reason he wasn't running well because he's mentally weak. That's why. Bill tried to break him down, and again, that's the reason.
He got his confidence when they got into him for the 25 times against the Jets.
Right, I agree with that. And now he's running. Now you're seeing the old Maroney a little bit.
I think
bit.
He played as well as he's played in any game Saturday night.
Even though the stats. 2.4 yards per carry, we all thought he ran the best.
But, the stats were terrible, but we all thought he ran the ball very
Dave,
well.
Dave, like you, I'm encouraged. But I have to admit, if you take the two biggest disappointments going to the season based on what you thought they were going to do and what they ended up doing, it would be Lawrence Maroney and Adalys Thomas. I mean, let's face it. You know? Now, do I hope next year Maroney runs for 1,500 yards, and do I think he can? Yes, I still think he can, but he didn't do it this year, and you have to admit that.
Yes, I admit that, but I also think that they didn't have to go to him that much because they were scoring points other ways.
I know, but even like when Roger Craig was with the San Francisco 49ers and they were such a good passing with Taylor and Rice and Montana.
He was
Craig,
part of the offense.
Craig still got his 1,500 yards or 1,300 yards. If you have a good running back, you use him. And, you know,
well, at least I'm hearing a little bit of hope in you guys' voice now. I mean, before it was like, get rid of him.
No, I've always had hope. These guys have never said get rid of him. But
no,
they
you said
they
it
were,
was a mental problem.
It was just, you know, they're pointing out the fact that, man, if this guy, if they had confidence in this guy, they'd use him a lot more. I mean, Sammy Morris, in the two games that he was, you know, they decided to run the ball, had over 100 yards.
And we also would say that we're not going to be stubborn about it. He's run the ball better the last couple of weeks, so we're not going to sit there and say, well, he still stinks, he still stinks. No, you call it the way it is. We thought, like I said, he only had 40-something yards the other night, but I thought he ran tough. I thought he got 2 and 3 yards on carries that looked like they were going to be losses.
And it's not even
really
the yards.
Well in the red zone.
It's we hadn't seen him all year run anybody over, try to throw that stiff arm, lower the shoulder. He hadn't done that at all. He's done that on a number of occasions over the last few weeks, running over safeties, looking to punch guys at the second level in the face. And it's confidence. Tom Brady brought it up, and he was right. He was hoping that Maroney built confidence off these last few weeks. He clearly has. He's running differently.
Saturday night was the first time since his first four games, because September of his rookie year, I thought, wow, this guy's going to be great. That's the first time I've seen him look like that right. guy was Saturday night.
And basically, the Patriots did something that they don't usually do, at least under Belichick. They took a running back in the first round. And you have to admit, up to this point, he hasn't lived up to that billing. I'm still hoping he might someday. But up to this point, you have to say he hasn't been worth the value that they drafted him in yet. It doesn't mean he won't be someday. But that's just the fact right now. All right, Dave, thanks for calling in. That's Dave from Abingdon, Virginia. We're going to take a break right now at the 1 o'clock break, and we'll be right back.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of 3 flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome! And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake's?
Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
All right, speaking of lunch, we have a big shout out to Rob in Salem today for sending us, Rob.
You're the best, Rob.
That's awesome.
In the immortal words of Andy and Tom, you beat me to the punch. I have my wallet all ready to do it.
Wow.
And I didn't have to because Rob
Paul was willing to do
through.
It. But Paul mixed it up, too. He gave me ziti and meatballs, which is very nice. That was a good change-up.
Rob got creative and sent his own, in his own order.
Yeah, that was good.
I enjoyed mine.
That was very good. So thank you, Rob from Salem.
Excellent.
So, all right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com.
You all right there?
Different order causes the same result in Fred.
I told you, I got meatballs, two of them.
got two balls.
543-7482. We're taking your emails and calls, and we just set Dave from Abingdon, Virginia straight on Lawrence Maroney.
Yes.
So.
Well, Fred, you've been saying all along, though, whether you like Maroney or you don't like him, you got to see it over a season. We've seen flashes, and then we've seen times where he hasn't been running very well. So whether I think he stinks and you think he's great,
right.
We don't know right now.
And there's nothing that he's done this year that a fourth or fifth round running back couldn't have done.
Right. Exactly.
So we haven't seen first round value yet, and I'm still holding out hope. I don't think that it's the verdict's out. We just don't know.
And I think the biggest thing for me with him is when he said when he broke that run, he was thinking about what the media was going to write about him.
Not good.
He's got to get rid of those rabbit ears. He's got to just say, hey, I can do what Marion Barber is doing. I can lower my shoulder. I can run people over, quit the dancing, quit the thinking, hit the hole, and just run over people, and that's it.
Yep. I'm looking for Steven Jackson. That's what I thought we were going to get, that type of runner.
You're right, Fred. The difference, if you make it to the NFL, you have some talent. You're capable of, for a couple-game stretch of, if you're a running back, running for some yards. If you're a wide receiver, catching some passes. The guys you draft in the first round, it's because you expect them to do that week in, week out, be a focal point
right.
of your team.
Right.
And that's what he still needs to prove. He's not proven that over the last couple of weeks as they go down the stretch.
And I also think that it was telling once again, and it wasn't just when they were down 12. It was in the fourth quarter when the game was a one-scored game. It was all throwing. When they needed it, they were down 5 points
on the last drive. First and 10, incomplete pass. Second and 10, incomplete pass. Third and 10, 65-yard bomb to Moss. So they're not looking to get Maroney involved when the game's on the line.
Right.
And it was a one-score. They weren't chasing there. There was plenty of time left, one-score game. They just needed to get out and score. You know, time wasn't a factor. So it wasn't like they had to go hurry up and throw the ball. When they get their backs to the wall, Maroney's not usually involved.
And, you know, I've heard people say, well, when they're in that spread formation, he doesn't have a lead blocker. They don't have two tight ends a lot of time, blah, blah, blah.
It makes it easier
but
to
on the other side of the coin, because they go no huddle so often, the other team isn't able to substitute. They're left in their dime and nickel package, so that should benefit Maroney.
Plus, when they're spread out, they're worried about Randy Moss and Wes Welker. They're all over. The defense is all over the field. That softens the defense.
So,
and here's the thing.
So you can make cases on either side. We just don't know right now.
If he comes in next year, has 1,300 yards or whatever, and okay, then you have what you thought you had. If he splits time with Sammy Morris and has 700 yards, he's a bust. End of story. Because if he needs to split time with Sammy Morris, you are a bust.
And the other thing is, he needs to have 1,300 yards. Don't come back and say, well, he had 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards
means
is meaningless. This year, if he hadn't missed a little time, he probably would have had 1,000 yards this year, and we still would have thought he didn't run well, he didn't have a great year. He's supposed to be a 1,300 to 1,500 yard type
back. Now, the flip side of that is Bill doesn't care. You know, to bust this, that. If he thinks that it's better to have him split, you know.
Right, he'll do it.
He'll do it. You know, it's just, so he, Bill doesn't
but
care.
The point
well,
is,
he took
it shouldn't be better to have him split.
No question.
But Bill
should, Bill shouldn't have to think about it.
I didn't say that philosophy is wrong. I'm just saying that don't be surprised if you see
it. He doesn't rotate quarterbacks.
Right. Look, like I said, if Maroney gave him the best chance to do a lot of these things, he'd be more involved.
Yep.
Because there are a lot of productive offenses over the years that find a way to get their running back involved more often. Yep. And the Craig thing that you said, Fred,
Did we really think
one.
That Randy Moss is going to get all the snaps that he got?
I was just going to say.
I mean, he's on the field for a reason.
I know Andy was joking about the quarterbacks, but, hey, they're not dying to get Dante Stallworth out there. You know, we thought he was going to be this huge part. They're not really dying to get the ball to Benjamin Watson because he can't catch.
Right.
So, you know, you're right. If Maroney is the clear-cut back in training camp, he should get most of the carries.
And Bill's whatever gives Bill the best interest to win for his football team is what he does. He's very honest about that fact.
If he thought Brady's arm was going,
he'd have a new quarterback in there next week.
Exactly. He's drafting Matt Ryan.
Right. That's just the way he is. He sees it, bottom line business, whatever gives me a chance to win. And Troy Brown is an example of that. Troy Brown was inactive. I mean, if Bill wasn't, if everything wasn't so focused on winning, don't you think Troy Brown would have been active for the last game?
Right.
But Bill has it all lined up. What do I need for special teams? What do I need for this?
I needed an extra lineman
Troy
because so-and-so's hurt.
I'm sorry, it's your last regular season game or whatever, but you're not active.
Alejandro writes in, he says, we'll be talking a lot of this 16-0 season. Who of the local media will be interviewed for those NFL Films documentaries? I mean, besides Andy Hart. Yeah, right.
I agree
with
that.
Who do you think? Who would they interview this year?
Bob Ryan, who's on TV. They interview him for
columnists.
Everything.
Yeah. I think Paul's been interviewed.
And then he gets left on the editing
Mike
room
Reese.
Floor.
I won't be. I think Felger and Tom Curran.
Yes.
They seem to be the flavors of the month with NFL, especially Curran. He's on NFL Network every night.
That's a shame.
And Felger will say something bombastic to make sure he's on.
Right. What about Reese? He'll probably.
Nah, too boring for him. He's like Paul.
Wow.
You can't say anything to help me out there.
I really wasn't listening. Alejandro also has two questions. Why do people still hire Bill Parcells even though he quits more jobs than George Costanza?
That's a pretty good observation.
I think that will happen until he fails at one of them. You know, even though he leaves before he says he's going to, he always turns it around. So unless he goes to Miami and doesn't have any success at all in the 2 years that he's there, because I don't expect him to be there for four.
No.
Two's probably
but they'll
closer.
Be better off than
but
they
they'll
are
be
right
better,
now.
They'll be better in 2 years than they are now, and until that is not the case, people will be interested in hiring him.
Of course,
him.
This one's sort of the Phil Jackson thing. They can't be much worse.
That's true.
I was thinking, you know, this rumors now that he might actually keep Cam Cameron on, and I was thinking, why not?
I think you got a guy who's going to be
forever in debt to you. And he's going to be your guy.
But he's a bad coach.
You can pull the strings in the background.
Here's the problem, Fred. You couldn't get further away from Bill Parcells and Cam Cameron.
Right.
Now, you got to feel, even though Parcells isn't coaching, he wants things done his way. Cameron's that laid-back guy. He's probably throwing parties for families on Fridays. I mean, who knows what he's doing. It flies in the face of everything that Bill Parcells
believes might be
in.
Doing the same thing Jerry Jones with Wade Phillips. You got a guy in there that's just going to do what you tell him to do. He's not going to have a mind of his own.
I guess, but I don't know.
I mean, I can understand that it certainly looks like he won't be back, but if he came back, I could understand it because they're probably, let's face it, they're well away from being back into contention. Probably going to take them 2 years. I know you can turn it around quickly, but it's hard to turn it around from 1-15 and be a playoff team the next year. They're going to have to pay the guy anyway. So why not let him coach another year and make sure that he is not
and
a good coach. Make sure he's not a good coach.
He worked well with the best player on your team.
You know what I'm saying?
Ronnie Brown was the best player on your team.
Yeah.
Whatever Cam Cameron was doing offensively worked well with him.
It certainly doesn't look good for him, but just make sure that he's not the answer.
The one way I could see him coming back is if Parcells looks at the other candidates and says, I don't see anyone I love right now.
Right yet.
Next year, maybe this guy. So maybe he doesn't see anyone out there that he thinks is worth hiring, and he does what you guys said and keeps him in there.
That's probably the most important point of all. If he had the guy that he targeted, then there's probably a
You also
point.
Wonder what he's looking for. I mean, I don't think he's not looking for a big-name guy, right? I mean, he's not looking to say, Cower, will you come coach for me? Because I don't think Cower's going to do it.
That's not going to work.
Right.
So, and he's also probably not looking for Josh McDaniels, a first-time really risk it, because, as you said, Paul, he's going to be there a couple years.
That guy.
So he's looking for a middle-of-the-road.
He's looking for Dan Hennig.
Someone
like that, a guy that he,
well, that's
you know,
why
maybe John Fox.
I think that's
old.
Why the Romeo Crennel thing
You'll bring
surfaced.
Back Ray Perkins.
I don't know about Romeo. I think he's lost it. The first of all,
I
when
missed,
they asked
I missed
him,
the thing that everybody
like
was
that.
Laughing at. What did he say?
You know, what is what's your reaction going to be if Tennessee loses? And he goes, woohoo! And he pumps his arms out and
well,
yells.
He didn't do it, and he kind of looked at the guy. And
well, first
like,
of all, the guy
what
couldn't.
What do you think my reaction is going to be? He goes, yay!
The guy couldn't spit the question out because the guy was
then he
going
goes,
around
well, what about
around.
If they lose? Then he goes, I'd be kind of depressed like this.
But then they also, the,
he is funny.
The thing I saw about taking offers on Derek Anderson. And he said, you know, some offers you take and you say no thank you, and then other offers you take and you go, ooh. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he just, it's like I'm out there just saying what comes to mind.
You know, I know we always make fun of the dumb questions, but, I mean, that's a pretty dumb question. I mean, what is your reaction going to be if you make the playoffs? Yeah. Is basically what the guy
and
said.
And it was the little guy.
Oh, give me a break.
The little
I could tell his voice.
Question.
No idea who he is.
Oh, he's a national guy?
No, he's from Cleveland. He's a little guy.
Oh, that's Yoder. He used to run the Browns paper when it was I know who you're talking about.
What's your reaction going to be if you make the playoffs? Well, I'll be pretty bummed out. You know, we're well ahead of schedule. I don't think we're just going to get killed when we get there.
Did you hear Eric with the lead question to, I think it was Brady, in the press conference after the game? Eric had the first question.
Was it a good know one? From experience,
something about where'd
dude.
You buy that shirt or something.
Was it better than the first question in Bill? After Bill gave his opinion on going 16-0, and the first question was, what's your reaction on going 16-0?
Alejandro,
did you hear that?
What?
Bill's whole opening monologue, so to speak, was about how much going 16-0 meant to him and the team. And the first question was, can you just speak to going to 16-0?
Right.
Going 16-0?
It's unbelievable.
And he goes, well, I just said that.
What did he look like? I couldn't see him. I was behind a pole. Were you behind the pole, too?
Yeah, I was with you and the speaker. We were getting a... The recording.
Couldn't even see Bill in the post.
Guskowski was in the press conference?
What?
Behind the pole?
Oh,
Fred,
pole
now, we're just, now we're just throwing out racial jokes? Hey, Fred, two black guys going to a bar.
That's not racial.
It's ethnic.
Can you call
equally
them?
Offensive. Race and ethnicity are usually sort of go hand in hand in offensive.
Alejandro's second question is, can you tell me a little bit about the Air Coryell Chargers? Some writers have drawn comparisons between them and this current Patriots team. Is this a correct statement?
Tom says they're overrated after having looked at Dan Fouts' stats.
It just shows you what different era it's in. Because back then you thought, wow, these guys are putting up these astronomical numbers. Then you go back and look at it, and you see like 26 touchdown passes, and it was just a different kind of game.
Right.
The one thing I think is most similar between the two teams is what happened in Baltimore. When it was fourth and short, that's not the Patriots game. Then they got that penalty, and we all said that's the best thing that
best
ever happened
thing.
To them. Same thing with the Chargers. They hated those short yardage situations, but when they could pass on third down, or you were better off having a fourth and two with them because they would think about running it, and that wasn't their game.
Yeah, I personally thought the way that game was, that Baltimore one, they could have tried that fourth and inches 10 times. They wouldn't have gotten it on the run. Not running it.
But as you said, as soon as they went to the pass, pitch and catch. Yeah. I mean, it was like stealing.
This is, got a couple emails on this one. This is Kevin from St. Mary's, Georgia. I was watching the game Saturday night like everyone else, and I noticed something that made me curious. When the players were coming through the tunnel after halftime, the refs were doing some kind of pat-down on some of the players. It looked like the offensive linemen in particular. what exactly are they checking for? I didn't know
this has happened before.
They've done
right?
it in the past. Yes. I don't know if it's random or if it's every week.
Oh, it's just Patriots looking for video equipment.
No, but they've done it to Mankins, right?
They've done it in the past.
I would do it to Mankins, too. Who knows what that guy's
brass knuckles, Chinese stars.
Yeah, he's got what Steel used to have.
She would say that crazy SOB.
People speculated in the past that they were looking for microphones during the whole early stages of Spygate, what the Dolphins had done, all these different. But I think they're just checking for different cheating measures. The slick stuff, you know, defensive linemen use spray on the silicone.
I thought Vrabel, when we were on Felger once, didn't Vrabel, he asked him about that, and Vrabel said it's common?
Yeah.
Someone said it. We were somewhere.
I think it's part of.
That it was common.
I mean, they always do it when, if you have any kind of a brace or a cast or any sort of wrap, anything that's outside the norm of a regular uniform, they always check it. And I think this is part of their whole equipment checking.
Hmm. Okay. You know what rule I want to get rid of when that guy asked what you would do to make the NFL better? I'm sick of the intentional grounding. I mean, they want to protect the quarterbacks. I'm just, you see at the quarterback, now you have to, the referees have to decide whether or not it's intentional grounding. I say throw it away. Let them throw it away.
I agree. Get rid of it altogether. Otherwise, call it. This whole thing about if you're outside the tackle box, you're allowed to do it. Why?
Right, exactly. It makes no sense.
I don't like the rule. And I think you should be able to intentionally ground the ball because I think that it's not an easy thing to do. I don't think it's easy to throw the ball safely to the ground. I mean, short of throwing it straight down.
But the one
maybe the one rule is that it has to go over the line of scrimmage.
So okay.
Yeah, just, I kind of like it. Yeah. Because the one example, I don't think it would happen all the time, but that one time when the guy is running, like weaving back and forth, then he could just throw it down.
Throw it into the ground.
No, you can't throw it straight down. That's I agree.
I like
you
have
to attempt to
that's
throw
the,
it.
That's the one stipulation is you have to get it to the line of scrimmage. That's fine.
I like this email. This is from Matt and Quincy. I'm not real crazy about the BCS. To me, it's as arbitrary as any other system, but here it's here to stay. Because it's so flawed, I have decided to come up with my own scientific approach to declare a national champion.
Matt, I'm in a bad mood today about this, so this better be good.
After a long, careful study of stats, scores, and astrological charts, I am able to declare without hesitation the 2007 NCAA Football National Championship is Northeastern. Stop laughing and follow me.
Oh, is this that?
We know where this came from.
27 degrees of separation.
Yeah. Ohio State lost to Illinois, who lost to USC, who lost to Stanford, who lost to Notre Dame, who lost to Navy, who lost to Delaware, who lost to UNH, who lost to, that's right, Northeastern University. Wait a minute, I'm not done. On the other side of this
Matt's
farce...
Matt's stealing his material.
On the other side of this farce of a championship game is LSU, who lost to Kentucky, who lost to Florida, who lost to Michigan, who lost to Appalachian State, who lost to Wofford, who lost to Elon, who lost to Furman, who lost to Hofstra, who lost to, you guessed it, your national champion, the Huskies of Northeastern University.
And while accepting the trophy, they'd like to announce they're dropping football.
Next year, I think Kirby College has a real shot.
I want to tell you how stupid the BCS is. We're getting ready to watch the Georgia-Hawaii game, and Allison.
You were the one who watched that game?
Yeah, and Allison goes, oh, Hawaii, I like them, because obviously she's fallen asleep to me watching Hawaii games at 1 o'clock in the morning. And she goes, what's their record? And I said, they're 12-0, they're the only unbeaten team in the country. Now, this is how simplistically stupid it is. She goes, oh, well, why aren't they playing for the national title? And I said, because they play in a weak conference. And she said, well, it's not their fault that they play in a weak conference. So that shows you how stupid the whole BCS thing.
Right.
Because that is a good point. You know, it's, hey, they won all their games. Why can't they play? But I think the best thing I saw was the guy from Yahoo who didn't just take the 16 best teams. He took, like, the champ from the MAC, the champ from Conference
USA. Well, it was
USA.
All the conference champs.
Yes.
And I ended up with, like, I think there's 11 conferences.
Yeah.
It's 11 conference champs and 5 wild cards or something.
That would be perfect. Now,
at large.
So what? The Motor City Bowl has to take the second best team from
right.
the MAC. You know, I just
people will still not care.
I just I can't believe it. I really can't that we're watching Hawaii play Georgia and they're trying to pass that off. I mean, seriously, Kansas and Virginia Tech. There's a chance I might not watch that game. That's how boring that game is. Come on,
Fred. Did you catch more of those Chick-fil-A commercials?
Yeah, those are the old ones. I've seen those before.
You know,
they haven't made any.
Do you understand
ones.
Them yet?
Well, I still don't agree with it, and I, you know, the whole thing is, I'm someone. If you're telling me to do something, I'm wondering why you're telling me, and I'd probably do the opposite. So if these cows are telling me to eat chicken, I'm wondering, what am I missing?
And you meatballs.
I'm going to have beef anyway. So just despite
other
that.
Than these stupid ranch, you know what my problem is with that bowl? It used to be the peach bowl.
Right.
That was my favorite bowl, the peach bowl. They took the peach right out of it.
That was a good game the other night, too. Did you watch it?
Yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah, like an idiot, I watched it when Clemson scored the fourth down touchdown to go up 17-10. Yeah, I never went back.
I figured it was over there, too.
I look at the score the next day, 26-23 or 23-20 in overtime.
Yeah, overtime.
And I'm like, what happened was. That's the best part of the game.
I should also point out that Adrian Peterson won Rookie of the Year.
I was just going to say, Strippers couple emails, AP Offensive Rookie of the Year, and a little plug for site, adrian-peterson.com.
I have been quoted on that site.
He does porn and running
many times. And strippers. I know you're an Oklahoma fan. Big tonight, baby. My bowl game of the year, Oklahoma over West Virginia.
Unless it snows, then he pulls back on that game of the year.
That's in,
but Stripper has a bone to pick with Andy. He says if Maroney got the 1,300, the 1,500 Andy thinks he should, he'd be one of the top five backs in the league. Is he a top five back? Asking for 1,300 to 1,500 is nuts. We throw too much. The 2,000 rushing leaders were Tomlinson with 1,474, Peterson with 1,341, Westbrook, and then they go down. So no
one. It was
even
a down year for running backs. First of all, they were all hurt.
Yeah, but
all the big names were hurt.
Wouldn't you agree that a premier back gets about 1,200 yards?
At least.
I mean, that's basically the cutoff. There is 1,200 yard season. It's not all about numbers. If you have 1,200 yards, that means you have some big runs. Plus you're running well.
We're talking
about
a 500 yard gap too,
right,
between Maroney and those guys.
Right.
So it's not like
he's around
like 100 yards short, you know.
And it was a down year again.
It was a very down year for running backs.
I mean, you have other years where there's a couple guys up 16, 1,800.
I'm fascinated by the whole thing because college seems to be going back to a form of option football where the quarterback is running and it's creating all these problems. Meanwhile, the NFL is going back to a run-and-shoot kind of thing where you're throwing the ball all over the place. I love watching these trends. I think it's fascinating.
It's all react and
yeah. I'm wondering
what do they
just
do?
In
how do I
college
counteract
if they feel like they have enough skilled guys to actually catch the, you know, because you can go. Let's face it, the Patriots can get like Gaffney and Stallworth out there in key spots, and they're still pretty good players. They're going to make catches, you know. And I'm wondering if maybe these college teams, they wonder what happens if the other team has a great defensive back and can take my top guy out, or at least, you know, make it even. Do I have enough other guys to do it? It's easier to run.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is 10 years ago, everyone went away from the option. They all went to the pro-style passing attacks. It was all, you know, we're throwing the ball all over the place. Now it's going back to the let's have the quarterback run again because he's so dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big mistake Nebraska made, is that you're not going to recruit receivers and stuff at Nebraska. You've got to have some kind of running quarterback offense there. That works best for them. That's why I don't think Callahan was a good fit there. But it's interesting.
Don't tell him that. He thinks he did a great job.
I also think it's just easier because there's not a ton of like pro-style high schools where you develop a quarterback who's ready to be a pro-style college quarterback. You can just take a guy who's fast and can run and say, here, be fast and run.
And let him go from, you know, give him a couple years in college to kind of learn some of that stuff that he most likely didn't do a lot of in high school. And
but
then
even that,
he doesn't, I mean,
it's an easier transition. You take the best athlete from a high school team and put him on the field, and he can play in college. He doesn't have to learn the system. You know, it's mostly just natural talent and athleticism.
I agree.
Whereas if you're trying to develop a quarterback, well, if I develop him, I might not have him long enough. This guy, I can put him in place and use him as a freshman and a sophomore, you know, get more out of him because, you know what I mean, there's no wasted time there.
And my guess is next year you're going to see the backs return a little bit because I have a feeling this offseason defenses are going to stock up on corners, and they're going to start playing the dime packages all the time because they're going to look at the Patriots and the Colts and say, this is the team we have to beat. These are the teams we have to beat.
And so, as John Hanna says, they're going to be running dives up the middle all the time.
Yep.
Scott in Washington, you said Maroney – said talking to me here. You said Maroney and Adelis have to rank among our biggest disappointments based on our preseason hopes. I would add Ben Watson or perhaps the tight end position as a whole.
Sure.
Belichick invests heavily in this position, and Watson is immensely talented, and we frequently think, okay, this will be the breakout for Benjamin, and it doesn't happen. Kyle Brady's a great blocking tight end when healthy, and Watson, too, gets a lot of snaps, but mostly as a blocker, and is just not the option in the passing game, whether due to injuries or drop passes. I know with the other weapons in the field, he's not going to be the number one target, but like Tom says about Maroney, if Belichick thinks the guy can get it done, then he'll go to him more, and he doesn't. I really like all these guys. I'm just saying I'd add Watson to the list of disappointments based on at least my own preseason
hopes. Oh, I would definitely agree
and
with that.
What does immensely talented mean? He's clearly not immensely talented. If he was immensely talented, he'd be making plays. He has physical gifts in terms of size and speed, but I think talent involves catching the ball, eye-hand coordination, breaking tackles, making plays. He doesn't do any of that.
Looks great in a uniform.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
And I'll even say this. I wouldn't put him in that category of didn't live up to expectations because I had none.
I would.
I had none. I've given up on him being a, you know, anything more than a flash player.
I hold him to the same barometer as Lawrence Maroney.
I thought he was
the offense around you was great. You should have room to work, and you didn't.
2 years from now, I might think of Maroney that same way.
But I think going into this season overall, he kind of got pushed off when with Stallworth and Moss.
But he's supposed
to
be athletic.
As far as preseason expectations, there wasn't a lot of talk about this is going to be Watson's breakout.
I think we talked about it on the show a lot.
I found out last year that he's not that guy.
We talked about the fact that with Moss coming in, even if he wasn't great, which he was downright great, he will open things up for Maroney and Watson.
Like the one game, the Cleveland game where he had the two touchdown receptions?
He had a lot of touchdowns early in the year.
But remember, there was the one game, I think it was Cleveland, where he hit the
scene. Yeah, he had a long one, yep.
We thought we'd see more of that.
It's the same argument. Where's the big plays? He could have had a great year to me with like 30 catches if he was making big plays down the middle. He doesn't.
And last year, before the season, I got into a tooth and nail argument with somebody about who was better, him or Jason Witten. Now, that was a first round knockout because there's a guy like Witten, he is making those kind of plays, and Watson. And Andy, what you guys, I don't know who said it, either you or Paul said.
Is that good?
Yeah. But is the most compelling thing to me. He doesn't make anyone miss. He doesn't run over him. He doesn't run by him. He's got three great plays as a Patriot. One's on offense. The other two are chasing guys down on a punt or a kickoff. So make him a special teams player.
To be fair, you got to worry so much about trying to catch the ball that he can't think about breaking tackles.
In my mind, that case was closed last year because he was the guy. He was the man. And he was, to me, an average player.
Notice Brady stopped using that, he's going to be a Pro Bowl tight end.
Right.
Brady pulled back on that. He learned that lesson.
I just didn't think that I thought that maybe there would be more big plays, but I didn't think that he would be a significant part of the offense. And I don't know what's missing with him, but you can't escape.
I think it's the impressive athletic ability or whatever they said.
But
I don't think he's that good.
He doesn't catch the
ball. Good straight line speed.
I'd never heard of him until they drafted him practically.
He doesn't catch the ball particularly well. And he also doesn't run with the ball particularly well, with the exception of one play that Tom just brought up against Jacksonville in the playoffs. That's it.
You know what he does well? You put him on a track and time a 40,
he'd
run fast.
He looks great
in
that uniform.
Front of you know more than anybody.
But
you love looking at him.
And I know I'm a little biased on this because I really liked the guy a lot, but I have seen no discernible differences in all of those aspects with Daniel Graham. I thought Daniel Graham struggled to catch the ball. I thought he was far better when he did catch the ball.
I was going to say, I think Graham made more plays.
And he was 1,000 times a better blocker.
Yeah, Graham was better.
So, I mean,
can we get him back?
But Graham was the all-time bust.
Well, probably get caught at the end of the year.
Everybody called Graham a bust around here.
And he was.
And to me, Peter King continued to write, Benjamin Watson's a Pro Bowler. Well, someone should tell Benjamin Watson that because he's going to get 45 catches every year max. That's what he is. He's not a Pro Bowler.
You remind me something about Peter King I want to bring up, but also on the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year.
What's up, Anthony? How are you?
Well, it's funny. When I was on hold, all I heard, the first part I heard was, looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. And I was like, I wonder if they're talking about Ben Watson. Sure enough, you guys were.
Yep.
I'm not even kidding with you. I'm serious. I was like, he kind of is like that,
Sort of summarizes his pro career.
What's that?
Sort of summarizes his pro career. Looks good in the uniform until the game starts.
Yeah, and it's just like there's no excuse for it. You know what? Last year you could say he was being double-teamed. This year he's not being double-teamed.
He's barely being single-teamed.
Exactly. So it's like, what's the reason? I don't understand why he's not, why he's not making big plays. He looks great in a uniform, like you guys said. To be honest with you, I'm almost all done with the Patriots picking any type of first rounder or second rounder that's on offense. You know what I mean? Like, think about the last couple of years, Who did we get in the first round besides Logan Mankins? I'll give him a pass to get an offensive lineman, but any skill players, please, just pick him up in the fourth or fifth rounds.
That's true. I mean, really, Deion Branch was the only one that really worked out.
Exactly. Can you name another guy?
I mean, Bethel Johnson, Chad Jackson, Lawrence Maroney, Benjamin Watson, Daniel Graham. The skilled position guys that they've taken at the top of the draft haven't really, haven't been their best picks. Let's put it that way. I won't call them all busts, but they haven't been their best picks.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's just like, please, just stick to defense, stick with what you know, get those skill positions as, like, you know, as free agents, you know what I mean, where they've already proven themselves. Because, like, that, to me, that's just, like, the only way it's probably going to get better on that offensive side, because I don't think we're going to do it through the draft.
So you're not on the Darren McFadden with the 7th overall pick if he's available?
No, I don't want him. I already told you guys about first-round picks for running backs. I think you can get just as good as running back in the 3rd round, you know what I mean, without spending all that ridiculous money that you have to do to sign him.
I agree.
I don't know if the Vikings agree with you, but, or the Chargers.
Well, Tom, but that's...
No, I'm just throwing that. I know what you mean. No, I don't necessarily disagree with you.
You know, can I tell you something? Like, he's great, as in, what's his name, Peterson. He is fantastic, but I'll tell you what. When they picked him up, I was just like, man, I don't know. He's a little injury prone. He runs hard. And what I've always said about him, they describe him as a big back. But when I do the eyeball check, when I look at him, I think he's maxed out as in how much weight he can put on that body.
Okay. Well, I like the smaller backs myself. Like, that's why I like the Ray Rice kind of build, because I think they last longer.
Yeah. Like, when you look at him, it's just like his frame is not as big as it should be. You know what I mean? I think he's all legs when you look at Peterson. That's the type of back he is. And I think that's probably why, you know, he gets a little injured, why he had the collarbone. He just, to me, he doesn't have that beefiness to take the beating.
Well, next
you
time
know?
We play the Vikings, I'll make sure Tom checks him out closely in the locker room.
Well, he will. He does that to every player.
Yeah.
Speaking of the eyeball test,
his eyeballs are busy in the post-game locker room.
Ooh.
Yeah, but Benjamin Watson think? Going up, Brandon Gorin going down.
But what do you think, guys? I'm having a strong feeling that Jacksonville's going to come to New England for the first game.
You know what? Yes. I'm starting to agree with you. I'm looking a little bit more closely at this game now, and I think they match up very well with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, not even that, but, you know, Ben's blind side is not going to be well protected with, a third stringer there. You know, you got Willie Parker out. Right. You know, Pittsburgh's limping in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Jacksonville's going to be limping out once they get here.
Right.
I mean, they do have Reggie Williams.
I can hope.
Dozen touchdowns.
I think that's a coin flip game. Pittsburgh-Jacksonville, I think that could go
but
either
way. I think he's right. They've had trouble protecting Roethlisberger all year.
Yep.
Now their offensive line's banged up even
well,
more.
Well, that's why they've had so much trouble. Right. And their offensive line has had so many injuries.
Plus, Willie Colon stinks.
And one thing they can do is get at the passer. They've got a good defensive line. And, you know, so I think that that's a good matchup for the Jaguars. Now, am I afraid if they play the Patriots? Not necessarily, but I think they match up well against the Steelers.
But can I tell you something, Fred, though? I agree with you. You know, in years past, you know, Jacksonville's always been the, you know, as what's his name, Boomer says, the yeah butts.
Yeah.
As in, you know, they look great during the season, they get into the playoffs, and they lay an egg. But my thing is that, you know, that was during the Leftwich era. You know, and I think Garrard is a little bit better quarterback. I'm not saying he's a savior for Jacksonville, but you can't take him like the Jacksonville of a year ago or 2 years ago. A little bit different team, you know. Maybe they have a little bit more experience, and I think maybe they're going to be a tougher play.
Garrard doesn't have any playoff experience.
But he's just better than Leftwich. Leftwich was a joke.
I think he's more efficient and smarter than Leftwich, certainly, but... Again, if a team wants to come in and just, we're going to beat you by running, I think the Patriots say bring it on.
I think they beat him by 3 touchdowns, easy.
I hope so. All right, guys, great talking to you.
Right,
happy New Year again.
You too, Anthony.
Brian from Farmington, Connecticut is another guy who's disappointed with Watson.
We are so negative. 16-0, our first show after it, and we're talking about who the biggest disappointments
but
are.
But also, he says, I know you guys touched on this already this season, but who on this team do you believe has a shot at the Hall of Fame? Brady and Seau are in, but what about these guys? And he mentions 3. Vrabel, Harrison, and Seymour.
No, no, and no.
Yeah.
As of now.
All for 3.
Now, Seymour could pull it out because Seymour, he's going to have the numbers.
I would think more Randy Moss.
Right.
If Seymour bounces back to play the way he did, say, 2 years ago for another 4 or 5 years, then he's got a shot. But right now, the way he's trending, no.
Vrabel has no shot.
Moss, no chance.
Moss, in my opinion, is an absolute loss.
Yes. Yeah. So is Belichick, by the way.
Yes.
I don't think Harrison will go just because of the way it's so hard to get safeties in that Hall of Fame. Now, maybe years from now they change that and start letting more safeties in. I don't know, but as of right now, no.
If he goes, he'll get a big boost from being a Patriot. He could be one of those guys that, you know, like the Bradys
they
and
say,
the,
we
got to
get
in.
A couple more in.
Wow, we only got 2 guys from that team.
It's
in,
like that Pittsburgh team. You know, they have like 9 or 10. I don't know what the number is, but I'm sure there are a couple of guys on that team that maybe weren't.
And you know what happens because – the system. You're arguing for people. So you get in a room, and somebody who's arguing for Rodney Harrison goes, those Patriot teams were the best teams by far, and Rodney was the key defensive player. They didn't win when he got hurt. And all of a sudden, the debate goes back and forth, and some guy goes, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, Harrison, check.
Yeah, the Andy Hart of the
right.
room. I think based on what he's done, I certainly think he
He'll get consideration. He has the numbers. He doesn't have the Pro Bowls, which is one reason I say Seymour, because these guys are like us. They go, wow, Seymour was a 10-time All-Pro or an 8-time Pro Bowler. Yeah, maybe he should be in the Hall of Fame, and you argue him. So that's the one thing about football is you never really know is that dynamic once they get to the discussion. Who's going to be arguing for them in the future with Borges out?
I don't know. Is Borges out?
This is his last year.
Oh,
he's arguing for Tip this year, Tip told
me. It'd be funny if it was Felger.
It won't be Felger, I don't think.
We don't have a lot of long-time scribes anymore that cover football.
Maybe Hobby would do it.
But
hey there, fella.
He'd fall asleep in the middle of his own speech.
Is that you, Hobby?
Brett, you had something about Peter King you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, Peter King came out two nights ago, Sunday night, and said unequivocally Brian Billick will be staying in Baltimore.
That's what happens. The first time he's ever unequivocally said anything, why he doesn't
do that. End of that.
And then the next day, he got fired. So I was wondering if anyone's heard Peter King come on and, do a mea culpa. Or
how dumb is Peter King?
Apparently very. That's their information guy, right? Isn't that what he's supposed to bring to that show, is information?
Yeah.
Good job, Peter.
And the other thing that's funny about that, though, is you had pointed out that there was an item on Pro Football Talk on Saturday.
Yeah,
I saw Jay Glazer on the Fox pre- and post-game show saying that he was in trouble and that the owner was talking to people in the locker room, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Glazer's supposedly
the
guy that broke it.
These are other guys.
Okay.
These are other guys that are talking about the exact opposite of what Peter King is saying, and I don't know how you could be that wrong.
Right.
Apparently, he didn't have good sources in Baltimore because the way those guys were spinning it, Biscotti was asking anyone who would listen what they thought about his future and had he lost the team.
Right.
So if you had one guy in that locker room in that, you would have known.
I mean, and that's all the signs pointed to you need to get a new guy in there because, like we said, once you lose the team, you can't fire all the players.
Is that a good job?
What?
I don't think it's a bad job because I think that there was some circumstances. I mean, they're only a year removed from being 13-3. But the bottom line for me with Billick, he never was able to fix that offense.
I think he's a fraud.
I agree.
I think he rode a lot of
the coattails of Marvin Lewis's defense to a Super Bowl.
Well, I laughed.
Right, he's an offensive genius whose offense was never good.
I laughed like 3-4 years ago. I think I don't know if it was Wired magazine or one of those one of those tech magazines did a story about how Brian Billick is leading the league in the use of technology. And I read the story, and it's basically he's got a laptop and a cell phone and watches film. It's like, what the hell is this guy doing that no one else is doing?
The one thing I like about him was he was supposedly very advanced in helping his assistants get jobs, and I like that. He supposedly put them through mock interviews, would make them put together a presentation. He very much helped his assistants get jobs.
I think all that would be great if he was also at the same time coming up with great game plans and improving his own offense.
Well, that's true because
so those guys could get jobs.
It's not like it was a short
period of
time.
Get him a job at HR.
Even if he lucked into the defense, eventually you say, well, he'll get his offense.
Right.
They didn't.
Right. And maybe Bill
was an offensive guy.
He made decisions.
Guy.
I want this quarterback. I want this running back, and it never worked.
Maybe Bill wasn't getting great interviews and preparation, but he was putting together offenses that are going to get his guys jobs.
You know who he is to me? Jim Fassel. I think that was the fraud bowl. I think Jim Fassel had a couple of good teams, here and there, but overall, he's just an idiot. I think
Billick
is an
idiot.
Aren't
they best friends? Aren't they good friends?
They are good friends, and that's why it killed him. We had to fire him last year. He took his job
away. People were just tripping over each other to hire Fassel.
Well, that's the thing about Fassel that really comes to mind, is that he did a decent job with the Giants. Hate him, like him, whatever. His record wasn't bad.
Nobody even
went
to talk
a Super Bowl. One-time coach, can't get another job.
Right.
No, and he's never even in. Like Tom says, he's never even in the small little.
No.
Meanwhile,
circle
Wade Phillips.
Of candidates.
Yeah.
So what's the best right now? You have Baltimore.
Rich
Atlanta.
Kotite got two jobs.
Are Baltimore and Atlanta the only jobs right now?
Yes.
It's not a lot, but we. There's a chance Miami.
But there's a GM job in Miami.
Cincinnati's
and there's a GM job possibly in Atlanta, too.
No, I'm just
wondering.
There's
GM jobs out there.
The Josh
well.
McDaniels connection, if people start asking what the best job would be.
If Cincinnati keeps Lewis, they deserve everything.
Well, if Cincinnati fires Lewis, that's the one if I'm Josh McDaniels as an offensive-minded coach I'm thinking about.
All he needs is a quarterback.
Problem. The problem is Mike Brown and what you think of the organization and
right.
What
well,
you're going
to
get.
What do you think? Like, Lewis came out and had all that stuff to say about they should blow it up and start over. They really need a fresh start and blah, blah, blah. And I think ostensibly what he was talking about was getting rid of the problems, you know, that have really hurt them over
Ray
the
Lewis?
Last four or five. Marvin Lewis. Did I say
said
right?
They should blow his team up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he well, very
Carson,
much.
Isn't he part of that
but
if it gets
very,
blown up?
Right. Very much talking like a guy who is not oh. going anywhere. No.
Oh.
The opposite. Like, this is what we need to do. We
didn't
need to
Carson Palmer say.
And he backed him up. Carson
yeah,
Palmer
Carson,
back to basically said the same kind of
oh,
stuff.
I kind of thought Carson Palmer was saying, yeah, we should blow it up, including
well,
him.
Well, I thought he
well,
mentioned coaches.
He may have mentioned that.
Yeah.
But he may have meant that, but he didn't really say it.
He felt.
Because I thought, like you guys did, that Marvin Lewis was as good. He's dead man walking. He's out.
Well,
but not based on what I heard.
The other guy is Herm Edwards. You know, Herm Edwards is now knocking off his assistant coaches and playing
right.
the blame game.
Which means he's staying for at least a year.
Yeah.
Well,
that's always what you do. They
not
make you
least,
fire your assistant.
A year.
I think that Herm Edwards coaches there as long as he wants because of his relationship with Carl Peterson.
Right. But you got to fire. They should fire Carl Peterson,
That
too.
Was, I like Pro Football Talk, is Peterson saying we have a plan?
Right.
Is it and a Pro Football plan? Talk had a source saying, what is it, a 20-year plan?
let's see. Matt writes in from Wasika. He says, wow, what a game. The Pats looked like a completely different team in the late third quarter and fourth quarter of that game. This was the first NFL Network game I've seen and my first time seeing Brian Gumbel. I took some notes and tallied up his miscues. Here's the tally. Three, as you can see, two, perhaps, as in perhaps 3 yards loss. Four, it would seem, and three, it would appears. Notable quotes that were stupid. Quote, the Patriots offense will come back on the field for the very first time. after discussing the Patriots have more 100-yard games this year than in another championship year, he says, one could argue the Patriots are running the ball better this year than in years past. He also said, quote, we've been given word that Kawika Mitchell has been lost for the night. We'll try to get a little more exact wording on that. after referee Mike Carey gets done calling a flag on Junior Seau, number 55, he says, so Wilfork doesn't get charged for the poke in the eye. He gets charged with a delay of the game.
I did hear that. He did say that.
Right before the second sack on Brady, quote, no sacks, no interceptions after first sack tonight. and after Gostkowski makes his second field goal, and it's true. The only other NFL Network game I saw was a preseason game with Chiefs where they had Dick Vermeil doing the commentary. He was miles ahead of Gumbel, despite not having done it very much. Fire Brian Gumbel. Get some no-name guy that doesn't mess up as much.
My favorite is still going to be, and the kick is good. Oh, it wasn't? It's exactly how he said
Gumbel
it.
Gumbel said
the
that?
Kick is good because I don't know whether he was watching live, or and then he apparently saw the refs going no good with their hands. He goes, oh, it wasn't? That's my favorite of the
like
year.
Me out at training camp.
You know who struggled is Herb Street. He had a tough game. He made a lot of mistakes.
Did he? Where?
He was saying, like, U.S. Wasn't he the with my,
the
oh,
Rose
the
Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he kept saying USC when he didn't mean them, and he was all over the place. Like after Mendenhall's touchdown, he goes on USC back in the game. More
oh,
after this,
yeah, I did hear that.
And I'm like, that's not right. Yeah. And that was like his fifth mistake I had noticed. And I usually like him.
He's probably hungover.
It's true. Does he have a family? Did I hear him mention?
Oh,
that?
He's got a huge family.
I thought he was.
He's got like 35 kids
on every college campus.
He is.
That's
the
word.
Oh,
he can get anybody he wants.
Good luck, yeah, including Paul's wife.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a thing for him.
My wife would leave me so fast, I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
Justin in Alaska, Fred and Fred's biatches, greatest or worst, just to be on the record, this will now be the greatest or worst season ever for a Pats fan. We can't lose now. All of these records will be worthless, well, maybe a couple bucks more than Eric's paintings, if we don't win it all, and I'll have to listen to Mercury Morris yak on ESPN forever. So he does a playoffs AccuCast. Every year before I gamble my mortgage on the playoffs, I run a program to figure out the playoffs. It's 90% accurate. So here is the AFC
Why
algorithm.
Why are you listening to us if it's 90%
wait
accurate?
Wait a second. You have something that can predict 90%? What's your job? Because you should
right.
be in Vegas.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
An island somewhere because you would have already cashed in.
You
got
to get back to me on this. I need to know what this is and the 90% and what you're talking about.
I think you made it up.
I don't know. So he's got some kind of weird chart here, and he's got the Chargers beating the Titans 23-19 or something like that, and Jaguars and Steelers tying. I don't know how that works. then he's
got
impossible? The Patriots beating the
it's
Steelers.
It's absolutely impossible.
He's got well, right, and then he's I guess the Steelers win in overtime or something because he's got the Patriots beating the Steelers, and then the Colts beating the Chargers, and then the Pats beating the Colts.
He took all that time to do that. I could have told you that.
I believe we probably told you that before the year started.
And we're 100%.
Colin says, hey, PFW crew, Stackhouse from Connecticut here. Happy New Year and to all, and what a season it's been. Hope you guys had a few fun New Years and that Andy and Tom had enough booze in their system. Now I wanted to ask you guys a question. Number one, how serious are the injuries to Nick Kazier and Stephen Neal? And number two, it was reported a few weeks ago that the New York Jets and the Man Genius were caught videotaping last year. Why no fine or punishment? And number three is for Tom. Who are your impact players in the playoffs? And there's too many questions here. So we're not going to get any word on Kazier and Neal.
Well, Neal is clearly an issue. It's been going on for 10 weeks now,
he's
or
missed
12 weeks.
Consecutive games at different times of the season with the same injury. So clearly that's something that...
He's got a shoulder.
But you got to find backup. I mean, Holstein's
right. You got a starting caliber player as his backup.
The other issue
the
is
other one's
the
an issue to me.
I don't think Ryan O'Callaghan's a good matchup against a decent pass rusher in the postseason.
I don't think Kazier is a great right tackle, but he is clearly better than O'Callaghan, and that's an issue today.
Yeah, and it's nice to know that even though Tom Coughlin didn't rest his starters, Michael Strahan rested himself.
Because he did not have a problem.
One of the biggest bums in the NFL, in my opinion.
They doubled him up.
I think he was looking...
No, I'm just saying in general.
No, he did not play well, but O'Callaghan really blocked Strahan in that game.
I think he was looking to lay down just like Favre laid down for him.
Let's see.
And then go meet his doctor friend after the game for a rendezvous.
Rendezvous.
Let's see. Simonelli says that we don't have the stream going.
Oh good. 150. Good time to tell us that.
I don't think that's true. Let's see. Sandeep says, I'm not sure if you guys have discussed it recently, but it appears Gostkowski has lost quite a bit of distance on his kickoffs. If you compare his kickoffs from earlier this year to even... to some of the other kickers in the league, he is getting more loft than distance. It's like he's hitting a 9-iron instead of a 5-iron. This has led to problems in the windy conditions in the past few weeks. A couple of kicking out of bounds penalties come to mind, but there is a positive, too. He is doing better on field goals. Is this an issue with technique? Your thoughts?
Well,
just weather.
The wind is going to stop the kick. It's going to give him trouble. I mean, is it a coincidence that late in the year the passing game has struggled and the guy kicking off has struggled?
Right.
Two guys that put the ball in the air a lot.
But he has done well with the field goals, I'm happy to say.
He's done a fine
job.
He's
only missed two. Isn't how many? Two, right? Three?
All year.
Three, I think it is.
Yeah.
All year.
He's been solid. I have no problem with him kicking a field goal at any time of the game.
Did not win the scoring title for the Patriots, though.
No, Moss beat him by a point.
Is that
right?
The first time that ever happened?
Ever?
Say no.
No, I would say no, too.
I always assume kickers win it.
Marshall Faulk.
No. I mean for the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots.
I was thinking somebody who scored for the Patriots more than a kicker would, like a 100-point type. Curtis Martin, maybe? Did he have a lot of touchdowns?
He did have a lot of touchdowns. I'm not sure.
Am I an idiot? Did Corey Dillon do it a couple of years ago? He had double digits.
Yeah, but the kickers usually win it.
Sandeep also says he's very thankful that the Patriots organization does not restrict ticket sales to fans outside the New England area, unlike some douchey teams like Tampa Bay, which restrict ticket sales to Florida residents and then wonder why they aren't selling playoff games. Out.
The late out.
Was that you out or
that was his.
Selling out? Okay.
Do you like
selling
that or
out.
No? Fred, you're a policy guy.
Out. I think that if I was having trouble selling, I would be spiteful and try to get my fans buying them before I let other fans buy them. Which doesn't mean that by restricting it in state, you're necessarily doing that, but you have more of a chance that it's going to be one of your fans buying it. It's not a good position to be in. You know, you'd rather be in the Patriots' position where they're already sold out before the game's even announced.
We should probably mention that there's some limited playoff tickets going on sale
Friday.
So
through Ticketmaster at 10 a.m., I assume.
Something like that. So
there's like four, so get there early.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. People get in there 10 seconds after it's open, and they're already gone, so... That's
Ace tickets
once,
has them all.
We'll get my tickets next year, those will be on eBay. So,
let's see. Stripper says Peter King says on CNNSI, I should know better, but I was surprised by the Brian Billick firing. I'm told that early in December, Baltimore owner Steve Piscotty and Billick sat down and figured out how they changed the staff for 08 and how they'd handle the postseason announcement that Billick would return in 08. When I started hearing rumors to the contrary, I called a Baltimore coach on Saturday. The staff had the same impression I did. In the assistant's words, Brian's definitely back. So that's Peter's mea culpa.
Well, why would it be Peter's fault?
But you know,
but why would you call an assistant coach?
Yeah. That's exactly, to me, just...
Listen, I was wrong.
No, yes. No one ever gets these things right all the time, especially in that business where it's all rumors. Just, look, you were wrong.
I screwed that
one up.
It's no big
deal.
Don't shake your bleeping head at me.
It's no big deal. Why did we have to write something out and say, well, this is why I was wrong? You know, that's
my fault.
You know, just suck it.
He blames it on an assistant coach who's going to know if the head coach is fired.
If that's your source, you should know how good the source is.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what the assistant coach said.
All
that's
assistants
not relevant to the story.
I think they're
me.
Coming back were, until they're not.
And there were a couple other guys that went out there and hit the rumor trail, too, and they came up with the right side. So what did happen? They lie to you when they say something right to them?
Well, they called the guy who picks up the jocks in the locker room. He said,
right.
No, that owner's been saying for weeks, he's out of here.
I just, you know... It's not an easy business. It's not an easy business to get people to tell you stuff. It's not easy to do.
No.
And I wouldn't hold it against the guy for getting one wrong, but you know, just admit that you got it wrong.
Jeff in Moncton, after the 2-point conversion Saturday night, I was wondering, can you line up for the 2-point conversion, call a timeout, and go for the extra point? Are you forced to go for 2-point conversion once you line up for it?
No.
No, you're not. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Also, do you think the Titans have a chance over San Diego?
No.
I think they have a little chance only because of the unpredictability of the Chargers. If they get in that kind of game they played at Tennessee where it's, you know, it bogs down. But I would expect, especially with Young, we're not sure about him.
Their offense just isn't doing it.
So San Diego's just got to go in there and score some points. If they can just score a few points early on in the game, I think they cruise. But they can't fall behind like they did at Tennessee and then press. So if they take care of their business, you still got to wonder, though, with that team. They're just a scary team when they're supposed to win.
Owen in Belfast, just tuned in. Don't know if you guys touch on the topic. Do you think Adalis Thomas will play in the middle again at linebacker next year, or will he go to the outside? And do you guys think they will take a shot at Laurinaitis? I'm specifically interested to hear on what Tom thinks of him. What about Adalis, middle or outside next year?
Outside.
I think it's really interesting.
Depends on who they get.
It totally depends on what they do in the offseason. But I think it's a really interesting facet of how moving forward. Because if you lose, let's just say you lose Seau and Bruschi. Let's say they both retire. And that's just total speculation. Okay, who knows? Maybe they'll both be
back. I would say it's better than 50% speculation.
I can't imagine that Bill would want to go into a season with potentially a rookie and then what, maybe a free agent signing. I think that there's a good chance that in that scenario that Thomas is back inside. Wouldn't you?
No, you know I wouldn't, but
no, I know you wouldn't want to, but I'm saying if you lost Sale
and
Bruschi,
I mean, if you lose Vrabel and Colvin, I think you're in trouble on the outside.
Well, you got to have somebody in the middle though.
I don't think there's as much of a chance
of
losing Vrabel and Colvin as there is of losing Sale and Bruschi.
I don't know.
How much?
I think there's a chance all four are gone.
How much of the defense does he have to know, though? I mean, how much of the defense does David Harris know in New York?
I don't
have any problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's as much. No, it's you got to be able to play.
If you have the instincts of a good middle inside linebacker, I think you can learn faster on the job, and Bill might have some more. I agree with you. He's not going to just probably not throw the guy right in there, but towards the middle of the season, if you get a Laurinaitis like they did with David Harris and he's ready to go, then maybe he inserts him into the starting lineup and then you can move Thomas out. The good thing is that Thomas has the flexibility where you can start him inside, move him outside, vice versa. You can move him all over the place.
I mean, Adalis Thomas was the Mike linebacker, and he was here right off the bat. So
and
a
I would,
guy can come in and learn the system and be a good inside linebacker.
I would expect also the Patriots, if they lost those guys, if they lost Sal and Bruschi, to sign somebody and not put it all on a rookie. I mean,
there's going
to
be turnover at linebacker.
You know,
whether
and
it's
I don't
two
know,
players, three players, four players, there's turnover.
Yeah, I don't know who's available. I don't know who the potential free agents are right now. I don't have the list yet. But, like a James Farrier kind of guy, a guy that's been around the league, not a star.
Right.
But a guy who knows the systems that, you know, he's been in different systems, maybe has some experience. In Farrier's case, he does have experience in this system when he was with the Jets. A guy that can step in and probably play for you from day one on the inside if you need him to.
And there's those guys. That's why I personally think he'll be on the outside. Because say Vrabel and Thomas are back. And see, Colvin, I think, is a kind of a question mark.
Colvin
I don't think he's been
is
good.
A question mark.
His money is huge. I think there's a chance he's gone and doesn't want to be. But say those two are back. I think you can find a guy. I know it didn't work with Monty Beisel and those guys, but it seems like there's these inside linebackers that, like a London Fletcher, or these guys that just bounce from team to team and have 120 tackles. And I think you can find some of those guys. I think if you have Vrabel and Thomas and they can make plays off the edge, you put them out there making plays off the edge.
You know, if they're still going to run a 3-4, they need more than another guy. They're going to really have to restock.
There's going to be a lot of turnover on this entire defense except for the front
line. You got to feel, and I know we say this every year, but you got to feel that the draft is going to be defensive heavy a little bit this year because, you know, they got some positions they got to fill there.
Let's see. Owen also says Tom got it bang on with Lawrence Maroney. He is mentally weak. And P.S. Tom Rocks deserves a raise. He continually brings it week in and week out and was a great addition
Figures
to the
drunk
Patriot
is on
organization.
Tom's side.
Andy is a wanker.
The one drunk guy loves you, Tom. Hasn't been sober for a show in 3 years.
That's my audience.
Peter and Elisabetta in Venice. I wonder if that's Venice, Italy, or I don't know. Anyway, he says, I know Tom likes to see.
Wait a minute. Where else would it be?
California?
Yeah.
But Elisabetta is the – if it was in Venice, he'd be in Venice, California, not Elisabetta, Venice, California, would he?
No, Peter and Elisabetta. It's two people in Venice.
Oh, I thought you said Peter in Elisabetta, Venice.
No. Let's see. Tom's boyfriend, Joseph Adai, is the name. He says, I know Tom likes to see things with his eyes as opposed to seeing things with his left foot, but it seems he isn't seeing running back talent very well these days. In the regular season, Joseph Adai ran 76 more times than Lawrence Maroney did and accumulated 237 more yards for his efforts. Doing a little math here, and that means if Maroney had accumulated 76 crappy carries for an average of 3.1 yards and a pile of dust, he'd have accumulated the exact same stats as handsome Mr. Adai. What's Tom been smoking?
How many passes did Adai catch? Anyone know? How many great blocks did he make when people were after Peyton Manning? Anyone know?
How many?
Okay, listen.
How many times was Joseph Adai on the sideline when the game was on the line compared to Lawrence Maroney?
Last year, I believe it was a pretty big game, right? AFC Championship game.
Yep.
Who got the ball on third down?
Yep.
Okay. Now I'm smoking something. There's three other people here. Fred, who's better, Adai or Maroney?
Right now, Adai.
Andy.
Why can't you ever just
I'm a bad guy because I hate Adai, and I'm going down with that
Maroney
ship.
Maroney could be better.
But yeah, Adai.
Paul.
I don't, not even close.
Well, there you go.
You give
but he thinks Adrian Peterson stinks, so he's a tough one, too.
That's a ridiculous comment by you. If you give 76 carries to Maroney and he ends up with more yards than Adai this year, who's the better player? This year, who is a better player?
What are you talking about? All-around player.
He just talked about the 76 carries that Maroney didn't get. And if he averaged 3.1
well,
a carry.
There's a reason why Adai got more carries.
No, but I'm saying even give Maroney the carries and give him the yard. He wasn't as good as Adai was this year.
And did,
plus, I never saw a game where they came out with a game plan to have Joseph Adai stay on the sideline the whole time and put and Manning at risk by going empty backfields left and right and throwing it 100
Reese
times.
Reese had the number breakdown for the whole year today, right? 30-something percent of the plays Maroney was on the field for. What does
like
that
a
tell
lead back
you?
To me.
Good third down back.
What does that tell you? He's not even a good third down
He's
back.
Not the best third down back on the team.
But the one thing, though, that I was going to say about Adai, I kind of forgot.
Well, I have one thing to say. The line about the left foot was a good one.
But last year, right, I don't like Adai. I'm a huge Maroney guy. I'm fighting with a guy at the gym saying, what do you think Maroney would do if he was in that offense? I got to turn it around. What do you think Adai would do if he was in this offense, doing what Kevin Falk and Maroney did? He would do it all, catch the ball, block, run. So, hey, I defended Maroney against Adai last year, but I can't be a fraud. Adai's the better player.
And I'll also say that I don't think Adai is great.
No.
Even now.
No,
he's a lot better.
We're comparing those
he's
two
a lot better than I thought he was.
Yeah.
But
just a guy.
I look at the running backs in the league. And I certainly wouldn't put him in the elite.
No. We're just comparing him because they got drafted near each other.
Now, I know he had I think he's going to the Pro Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think he's...
It's a down year for running backs.
Yeah, and they all
Terrible
got hurt.
Terrible year for
a lot of the good ones got hurt. Steven
all
Jackson got hurt. Larry Johnson got hurt.
Frank Gore was banged up.
Frank Gore's been hurt.
Sean Alexander fell off the map.
LT was really up and down early in the year, even though he still ended
sulking.
Up with the rushing title.
But my point with the eyes is don't send in stupid stats. You sent in a stupid stat, so he got bitch slapped. Next.
All right. Well,
but
that's
the left foot line was good.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow, Thursday, and then we'll see you tomorrow.